Doctor, yo comienzo en este tren en el que se presenta to us the annual report. We are going to start right away because I feel like it's a long day for all of us. Welcome. I'm not promising today to be the nice day. I always call it nice, but I'm not going to say, but I'm not going to say that it's going to be a bad place everywhere. But it's going to be very interesting. We're going to start right away with the Housing Development Agency. I just want to apologize first to the city from sitting down. The podium is made for the entity to present. There are three people today. I'm sitting beside you. So, and that is the mission. We almost know each other now. The meeting for the parents, what kind of music. We're starting to know the people as well. So I'm going to post it to have the development agency to start with their presentation. What we do, we'll do a presentation, ask some clarity questions which we're not going to prolong them, and then go to the presentation. But I'm hoping that the presentation is not going to be that long, hopefully, but we also want to say, so for everything, and so far, thank you very much. How do you work at HSIMAD? You know who I am, by the way. Hoping that I don't have people to myself. I find it no problem. Some of the sentiments for some of the information. How do you work at HSIMAD?
I'm sorry,
Chief.
In my way of introduction, I'm Satya, I'm the CEO of the HDA, and an honorary example to Google and the Satya. Okay. And I have my entire executive team with me to answer one question, which is our final. At one level, what we're talking about is the past year. So it's not a year that you have any responsibility for oversight over, except to say that we perform. And of course, if we've been the fifth report.
Before, I thought before you started the response, probably introduce your team.
Thank you. On my team right is Adair Crofton, who's responsible for land and town services, mainly responsible for the areas that are occurring, the activities that are occurring in all of our regions. Next to her is Han Mini, who is the acting general manager in terms of in charge of land, solitary and the policy. And that's mainly responsible for the GIS, the policy, the knowledge management areas. Besides me is Kate Chan, who's responsible for communication. Rashid Israel is our corporate services general manager, among other things, IT and HR. Next to her is Bukhan Muller, who's our CFO. And Shreya Denry is from the Vietnam office, which is basically going to be our scribe. He's going to be here for the rest of the day, so we're going to be at the session. Okay, can I move on? So, as I was saying, the report is for last year, obviously, but it also encapsulates, I think, what we've done over the previous term, so you'll be able to have some sense of what we've done over the entire 5-year period. We've already indicated that we're a national agency, we operate in terms of an act, and those are our major objectives. Two primary ones. One is to acquire defined hold land, and the second one is to provide services to project management and other services to particular provinces of local authorities, as well as support the national department. We are, of course, an agency of the national department, and in that sense, an arm of the national department. I should indicate that we're currently active in all 9 provinces, although we only have offices in 5. We're hoping to expand in the course of this financial year, given the indications that we've got from the National Minister, dependent and money on planning for them for this year and for next year. Our services are there listed. I'm not going to go through them. You do have the presentation, but we cover all those areas and we are active in them in all the provinces. Again, by way of information, the way we normally structure our provincial interactions is that we have an implementation protocol signed with the province, which gives overall direction to our activity. And then we, underneath that, sign what we call an MTOP, a medium-term operational program. And that MTOP specifies which particular services that particular province or local authority wants. And as we'll see later on in the presentation, we have signed up to 17 of those agreements around the country. The highlights for 2013-14 are listed on the next slide, and I will go through them. Approximately 3,819 hectares of land were actually released into the system, and generally those would be released to local and provincial authorities. That is the last year's total contribution to the 9,000 hectares that we achieved over the entire 5-year period, which meant that we achieved and in fact exceeded our outcome aid targets. We own 16 properties in our own name, although some of those properties, we own 16 properties in our own name, and some of the properties are held in trust for various provinces to be developed over time. We have a GIS tool, which we will show you a little bit more about at the end of this presentation, because it's a very effective and important tool for locating land and for planning purposes. We have been requested by both our department and the DDME to be involved in the Mining Towns Initiative, and this year we're playing quite an important supportive role in the mining town. The private housing development area policy, which went through the last portfolio committee and then was supported and approved, was presented this year, and basically is a tool for fast-tracking developments, and we hope to be able to use it in the course of this coming year. And then I've talked about the implementation protocols that we have with a variety of provincial and local authorities. We have MTOPs in place with the Pueblo Free State North Cape. We've had extended that since this report was done, and we now have agreements with Mpumalanga and and as I've already said, we have 5 regional offices. We're working on 22 specific projects. We're working specifically in what are called Section 29 projects. You need to be aware of that term, because Section 29 is a specific section in our Act which allows you to, which allows the Minister to designate a role in particular projects. The Buck Eradication Program was approved in the course of the last financial year. The financing and operation of that has not yet happened except for a pilot project that we started in Western Cape. We're only responsible for the Western Cape. I've talked about the mining town intervention, and we've had an important role with the department in that. And now that we have got new direction from the Minister, we're putting in place a strategic plan and a organization structure that will deal with that. The macro indicators are not that big on the screen, but they're on page 13 of the annual report if you have it available. And I already talked a little bit about those. The first one was the National Land Assembly plan. That wasn't achieved in the course of last year, and it's been achieved since have been superseded by the Minister's requirement for a special framework and master plan, which we have developed and we've returned to the Portfolio Committee recently. And that is going to get quite a lot of action. It's been discussed with provinces, local authorities, SELGA, it's been discussed through technical MINMEC and MINMEC, and we're quite hopeful that the next MINMEC it will be finally approved and will guide interventional projects going forward. In terms of hectares of land, the target for last year was 2,000 hectares. We did 3,800 in terms of leasing that land within the settlements. In terms of specific programs that we are supporting in land assembly, informal settlement upgrading, pipeline program support, and the list is in the description of the indicator. The target there was 20, and we achieved 22 in 9 provinces, 7 local authorities, and 6 specific projects like the F2 Zone, Lula, Bella, etc., the details in our report. The list of units that we have is there in the next table. We've got 15, and we'll indicate the provinces and the cities that we're involved in. And then the priority housing development area wasn't applicable because the regulations had not been approved. So we were not able to proceed with that, and we're hoping to do that in the course of this coming year. From a strategic management and finance administration point of view, we did receive an unqualified report. We do have oversight through our audit committee, and the financial supply chain and risk management systems are in place to continue to improve. We do have a performance management system in place. Evaluations are conducted of all staff and their performance on a price year. And we have a fairly extensive communication and marketing group, and you've seen some of those publications, and we will show you something at the end of this presentation, which will again enhance that activity. From a staffing point of view, 21 new members were recruited during the year, so we have profiled all the jobs, 95% of the jobs. We have a highly qualified staff. 42% of our staff are professional practitioners. We do follow a fairly strong employment equity place, and 50% of our staff are women and 80% are black. And then there are the figures. You see that we've grown from 78 staff members in 2011 to 111 at the end of this last financial year. Our plans, if we hit the funding, would be to again double that and expand to all 9 provinces from an office point of view. We currently have offices in 5 provinces. We'd like to go to all 9 and expand our development. We've talked quite a lot about intergovernmental support that happens at both a national and a regional level. The next slide talks about all the areas that we're operating in. Essentially what we're doing is providing support in most provinces to their IGR functions. We hold workshops, we link in with local authorities about a variety of topics. We have opened in the course of this last financial year and also in the Northern Cape. On the next one, land assembly, this price indicates the kind of stages of development. We would start with pre-assembly and feasibility assessments. And we were doing that in particular in those 3 provinces, Mpumalanga, North West, and KZN, on both public and private land. We think we've made some quite important policy inroads in how you assess the value of land, because that's a really problematic area. We can get 3 valuations, and they can vary by as much as 100 of the rand. It's quite unbelievable what happens in terms of land valuation, particularly when governments are involved, because the minute you know the government is involved, the price goes up. So pre-feasibility assessments and valuations, and we are working with all the provinces in terms of acquiring land, getting it from public, getting it from rural development, getting it from the state-owned companies, and some private land. And over the 5 years, we started to get traction, which means that the turnaround time has got better and better in all those areas. That's our current property portfolio. That's the 16 properties that I was talking about. I'd like to refer you to page 20 of the report, which gives you a breakdown of the land as a whole. Where on page 20 you'll see that over the period 2009 to 2014, we acquired 9,272 hectares, which could be increasingly, because we met our target, exceeded the target we set up by our head, but increasingly we get better at turning that around quicker and quicker. I'm not going to spend time on this slide because we're going to show you a video as soon as I'm done, which will indicate to you how we do how GIS system works, which we think has been making a major inroad into the sector and the information institution of the sector. We currently have we currently have 52 users, and they're not only human settlements but actually in other departments as well, local government, rural development, public goods, are all using particularly at the regional level. In terms of actual projects, we're working with some projects in the Popo, Bengal and Bella. Bengal was a block project. It was quite an achievement to get it out of status. I've talked about that direct education program in the Western Cape, which has been which has not gone further than the pilot because of the funding and legal arrangements, as well as the discussions that need to happen between the new minister and the Ministry of Water Affairs and Sanitation. And then on the mining towns and the catalytic projects, mining towns, we were starting to work on last year already. We've been involved in assisting the department to assess catalytic projects in terms of the Minister's program this year. The two big projects that we've been involved in, that are probably amongst the biggest in the country, which is the N2. Zanambula. In Zanambula, we have completed 6,496 units since inception, as well as almost 2,000 rectifications. And in terms of the N2, 11,261 units since inception. We have noted there that Boyshausen, which was the kind of almost last section of the N2 process which we commenced, has had to has been halted because of our community activity. I'm going to stop there and ask the CFO just to talk a little bit about the finance, and then we will conclude.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to talk to the statement of financial position and statement of financial performance. On this slide, you'll see there's statement of change in net assets. I'm going to talk to that together with page 36 of the financials, which is the statement of financial position. On this in the financial, you will know that in the net changes, there's been a slight decrease in net assets. That is mainly due to a decrease in surplus, which is one of the things that we want to do. We don't want to continue to have surpluses year on year. And as you can see, there is also a return of key surpluses of 19.563 million, sorry about that, which is the surpluses for 2011 and 2012, which National Treasury asked us to return to them. On page 36, the highlights really are the fact that we have long-term inventory of 27 million, and this is made up of properties that we purchased from Firmcon. Then we've got also a land inventory of 77 million, and this consists of a portfolio of properties, one of which is in the Mpopo, which is 65.4 million, and then just various small properties in mostly the Prefect, Kroonstad, and Bethlehem. You will also notice that in our financial position, so far the paid current liabilities are. You'll also note that we have project obligations. Project obligations just mean that for the properties that we do have, we need to go show this to different properties, such as the public research, and also there are services in other areas where we might have some properties. So what you'll find is there's a match between obligations and properties. We place the statement of cash flow But again, because this doesn't really tell us much, all it tells us here is just some of the properties that have mulch, which is mostly the equipment, and some interest that have come in from money, mainly from money that we invested. In financial performance, you will look at our income statement that show a deficit of 19.153 million. And as I said before, that is because we had to return the money to National Treasury. And you will note that in note 14 of the financial statement, there's a breakdown that explains to you how that made up. So the small profit we did make is under cash surplus of about a million, and the rest is accounting surplus, and then there was the money that we returned, and that's causing our cash flows to decrease.
Okay, thanks. What we have to do now, Madam Chair, with the permission, see before meeting, just to run a video indicating our GIS tool.
Even when habitable land is identified, it can take up to 10 years to work through all the red tape to get it leased. With government's strong emphasis now on transforming spatial arrangements, national, provincial, and local governments are working together to achieve integrated, sustainable human settlements. The HDA was established to support provinces and municipalities to fast-track this project. The HDA is developing a National Human Settlement Land Initiative, or NASI, an analytical tool to guide the planning of integrated human settlements development. Its objectives are to identify habitable and non-habitable land, identify risk-prone areas, advise on the best location for human settlements, as well as on the development potential of the land in question. It is envisioned that NASI will be used by all spheres of government, as well as the general public, to acquire visual, spatial, and contextual information on any given piece of land to fast-track the planning process. How does NASI work? The NASI framework is based on four interrelated principles, which inform the overall habitability of land. Each of these principles is comprised of various indices, computed by NASI, namely the natural environment comprised of the Geotechnical Hazard Index, Environmental Risk Index, Land Capability Index, Ecological Infrastructure and Biodiversity Asset Index, and the Climate Change Adaptation Index. Each of these are waiting to make up a final land suitability index. The regulatory environment comprised of the Land Tenure Index, Land Value Index, and the Land Use Index. These are waiting to form a Land Availability Index. The structural environment comprised of the Land Functionality Index and Land Viability Index. Together these form a Land Acceptability Index. The social environment comprised of the Land Settlement Index as well as the Land Network Index, which are weighted to form the Land Livelihood Index. By bringing these four indices together, NASB is able to map an accurate overall habitable land index for each parcel of land in a given area. Let's take a closer look at the process. Following the case study of Farm Brownstone number 324IQ and Extension 1 and 2 Johannesburg, an area of 90 hectares. NASB was used to initially establish the cadastral information of the property. Working closely with the city of Johannesburg, the zoning of the area was established. Applying the NASI model to land revealed the existence of mine ducts and water bodies in close proximity to the land. Land suitability values were determined for each parcel of land. Accessibility analyses were conducted to determine travel time and distances. Working with the Department of Public Works, the National Disaster Management Center, Nancy was used to establish the best possible model of development in line with ATA criteria. Due to its thorough and rigorous analyses, Nancy ensures rapid identification and prioritization of land, demarcation of risk-prone and ecologically sensitive areas, leveraging of resources, as well as supporting city-led planning and development towards spatial transformation. Through its cross-sectional geospatial and action platforms, NASCI can support provinces and municipalities as a resource for enhanced planning at three geographic scales, with a specific focus on informed choice, efficient governance, and optimal sustainability. Still in its infancy, NASCI relies heavily on the availability and accessibility of spatial data sets. NASCI's success in helping the people of South Africa get the most of their land investment depends on the collaboration and cooperation all spheres of government. So let's make NASCI work for us. By collaborating and sharing data and information, we can achieve our work objectives and improve the lives of all South Africans.
But you might agree with my soccer city, that was a piece of land that we identified there, and we're waiting for it to be transferred from public goods, so it's not on that same place. So in conclusion, as I said, on the basis of the report, which was endorsed by the board, I think we can say that the HDA is in good shape. It's operating in all provinces. It met its upcoming targets. It's got vaccine orders. And it's certainly posed to meet the challenges that you and the ministry want us to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Housing Development Agency, that's your annual report. For me, that's why I open up to my colleagues to ask questions and questions. And if you can just clarify for me on your personnel, when you say 87% are black, 60% are women, you can probably clarify for me those 87% are black. How many of them are in the management seven? And with 50% of women, or also how many of them are in the management level? And then to clarify as well, if you have any people with disabilities in your block, in the personal block. That is the questions from my colleagues. Honorable Mama Tabashe, Honorable Menezi, Honorable Ghana, Honorable Stone, Honorable Dana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you said that, and as I think the government from you, Chair, questions or questions, or we can also just discuss on this. We acknowledge that the department, together with the of the entities in this time, the importance is not there. But there are areas of concern. The first one is that although you see that they've been audited, and during the budget speech of the minister, we praise you. But on the other hand, there are arguments that says your targets are very low compared to the 9 bodies that you are supposed to. Although you achieve them, you overachieve them, but they are very low compared to the 9 bodies that you are supposed to serve. And also, if you compare it with what the department requires to build human settlement and housing delivery per annum within the 5 years, it means if you move with that pace, with that kind of a target or output, then the department won't be able to realize its mandate. Because you are the ones that must identify the well-located end for the provinces for the national department to deliver. So I would like to, we also during that defense debate in Parliament, we challenged you in the portfolio committee that would want you to expand and would like to get the plan on how and when to expand to other provinces, to increase your target also expand, your plans to expand to our community. We are basically the global. And to let you know who we see, how are you performing in the global. The other one, the exchange, is going to be for all the entities. It's a report from the Auditor General that there are 5 points that they've raised that the previous committee of human settlement should enforce this pattern. It was not fully implemented and us, we need to reinforce it. And I take it that it's important for us to reinforce it. So entities must comply monthly financial statements to the department. Entities have action plans to treat that must be presented quarterly, progress reporting to the department. Entities to take action against transgressors. Quarterly review reports on performance and performance information. And review implementation and assessment of key questions. So we keep on reporting this so they can, wherever we go along, we modify you as the portfolio committee to know that we told you about this. That you have also. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, SDA. We want to appreciate when NHP is doing well. We want to say thank you very much. You are one of the NHPs that are shy. So we need to report. Maybe to add on the list of provinces that we want to hear your assistance with. In our engagement with you yesterday, Mpumalanga was also added the province that really need assistance in terms of land identification, like lots of problem land specific. So would love to hear if you bring something to assist that province. Like your bank of told us, updating that at each level means us. And despite it giving more than apartheid itself. What worries us more are segment patterns. They still remain and in fact the private sector is still developing more in the areas where we should be integrating our communities. And it identifies those lands that we would have identified before to integrate our community, but that is not very high. I cannot understand what happened. Why do you see still racial development patterns growing? But like in areas such as Falcon, you go to around the turn, you see huge development, housing development. But for the other people, it will still be in the periphery. So we'll need your response. What are you doing? It's like we are still moving on. Maybe for my, you have said one thing is ahead that you are buying land. Then the prices escalate. So I would love to hear a question to you to ensure that you keep it within yourself, that you must be no speculation, and but you also ensure that you check the end, that you don't buy land at the end. It's not really putting to the impact. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you very much to the HTA for the presentation. I think and it's a good thing that the ATA is doing well. My opinion is the big one. It's around the matter of the deceased employees. What offense did they commit and at what level they were held and how long did it take
for the HDA to finally dismiss this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. My first concern, Chairperson, is the transformation. Because if you see the presentation today, it doesn't reflect what you're saying. It's deep about the alternative. Because when we are talking about that, we have some tech management, we also have tech management in terms of doesn't give it a sorry impact on the world. Another important is that they are doing greater capacity building workshop in greater communities. If they can give us, what kind of capacity are they giving to those communities? Another important is the kind of informal settlements, which are they upgrading or supporting here in the university. They have comments now for what they are predicting to finish with the informal settlements. They are upgrading informal settlements in the city. Thank you. And the last one, 10% is the
you don't have to implement the application. You want to do the control. So we have a question about the health in the region. Not to be implemented. Another person that you didn't raise. So don't try to be the I know who can tell.
Thank you, Manager. Situation on the number of properties on page 3 of this presentation is 16 properties, but when I look at the table which you've got, there's actually 14 properties listed there. So I'm just confused about that and there they are. A bit more information could have been put. I would have liked to see a bit more information on their site with regards to the plan development and the yields for those properties. As I have a different document here, the annual performance plan. These properties that are listed here, they're not the same as these. Are these properties that are already released? Are those, okay, so this one that needs to focus on, there's a number of those are 15 and 14. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The entity is going to respond. I'm really very interested when they respond with what Honourable Menendez said in terms of, because remember this department, one of its major things is to actually it's a human settlement that is interpreted. So as you see the developmental pattern, so they still are following the particular pattern. It was really with lack as you respond to experience from what are the difficulties in getting to them parcels to develop from the so-called black communities in the so-called white communities in the
world. Thank you, Chair and members. I'm going to ask different members of my expert to respond. I think that the questions cut across the portfolio, so they won't answer questions in order that they'll answer related to their particular portfolio. So to start with finance.
Thank you.
that are women, but it's politically on the management of the world. We have three different associates. So one is from the show called the senior manager, that took about 8 weeks from the time when we established what happened. It was a fraudulent matter. Then the second matter was it's a club at the GU level, not the management level, and that took up 6 weeks. The last one was a club. It was also a fraud matter, and it took up 8 weeks from the time when we established it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll start with Mpopo, and we were in Mpopo yesterday. We met with both the MEC and the HOD. In Mpopo, we are providing informal settlement upgrading support. We have rapid access to all the informal settlements. We've done enumerations and technical feasibility, and we are now awaiting the province to plan for the implementation. And we are trying to work quite hard with the province to get to the basic service service provision, as well as the town planning team upgrading that needs to be done. And that we have to do and the whole process there to try and get the informal settlements senior security or services up with the groundwork and the information is all there. We're also doing land friendly support. Public land is not a problem. There's quite a number of parcels with over 500 hectares in project that will be released in this year. But for private land, the funding is with the province, and the province needs to sign off and make the decision. And there the complexities with regards to the human settlement department, their provincial treasury, and who makes the final decision and the sign-off, we can't direct that, but it's in that process currently in the department. So once you get sign-off from the department, we can complete the actual acquisition. There's some 12 parcels of land in the Mpopo that we're looking at for this financial year, but we need the sign-off from the province with regards to that. There's GIS support that we provide to both the province and the municipality. That's working well. Most of the municipalities have been trained. There are a number of users, not only in human settlements, but also on the local government side and the other government departments that we engage with. We also provide assistance in planning and programming the province's project pipeline. So in that regard, apart from setting up a land pipeline for the province, we've looked at a number of their projects, what's the readiness, what's going on, what's happening, sequence and organize those projects so that they know where on which projects are fundable and doable. While we can organize and provide that information to the province, it's up to the province to make the final call on which projects they're going to fund and which they're not going to fund. So we give them all the backup and support information. They know which projects are ready. And as I understand, currently the province is in the SCM process. We have assisted them with certification documents and so on for SEM, but the province must run the SEM process. And that we can't do for them, and then out of the SEM process make the final decision. So we assist them with project pipeline work, and then we also assist with IGR. So they have a human settlement forum that is working, where they bring all the municipalities together, and they indicate to the municipality this is what's planned, this is what's going on, this is the issues, and this is how we deal with them, and we assist to give them backup and support to that kind of forum, apart from going out to the municipality and regularly engaging with them on needs, requirements, so they can make sure all of that is taken into the policy process. There are some additional services they've asked for, which we're beginning to build in, but with regards to the program, our support program was for 3 years. This is the last year. So we're also, our firm was waiting for renewal of our service so that we can further support them from next year onwards. Because we're supporting provinces on request and for a period of time, 3 years or 5 years, and then once that comes to an end, we have to wait for the province to say, yes, we want further support, or no, we don't. So we're in that year where they have to indicate further support to us, otherwise next year our office in Mpopo won't be there if the province no longer requires our support. In principle, as I said, we met with the MEC, she's happy, she does want to support, so it's an administrative process in the province to get that going. She has a lot of detail that I think is coming to the areas. So in Mpopo, we are fully aware they have serious problems something is position in the province, because I see problems with Boston and the store and the range of issues that we all day keeping the paper trail, doing the base work, the foundation information. So we should be able to make some of the key decisions and sort out the internal matters or things that can be the message to be assisted with. I will then move to Mpumalanga. We are assisting Mpumalanga with land work. We haven't set up an officer yet. We've been discussing with them to finalize exactly what services are required from us and what staffing. We're close to signing an agreement in that regard, so we should be setting up with them this year. But that doesn't mean we haven't assisted them. Last year we set up a land pipeline, identifying land in the five priority high growth municipalities. So our focus has been limited to the high-growth municipalities like Mandela, Mutwete, Emlakleni, Gavambeki, and there's one other, I can't recall, but it's five in total. There's very much, you know, focus there. That includes in public the mining towns, so we are looking at the mining towns. But we met with all those municipalities, and also land needs and basic land identification, which is kind of phase one, and we've set up a land pipeline and recommended various parcels of land for acquisition. Apart from what we recommend, there is some land parcels and requests that have come to us from the province, from the municipality, which they have assisted, requested us to assist with. So notably in Fiji, there are some rental properties that they've requested us to assist with. There's an active bank property, and there are some other properties that are currently for private acquisition here in the city. We do all the pre-feasibility work, the investigation, and ultimately we recommend to the province. The province by then makes the decision acquire or not acquire and conclude the transaction and the system of that conclusion. But ultimately, we need a signature on paper that says we acquire. And Chair, I'm going to bring this to the last question about the difficulty of land. But I think for land acquisition, it's for the province. That is with HDA. So in certain cases, we do all the base work and recommend to the province. They make the decision and conclude the transaction. Or, in the case of pre-fat, they transfer the money to us, and again, we do all the base work, we get their approval, and then we conclude the transaction. So there's the two scenarios, and one of the big challenges is the private acquisitions, the money fits for the province. So the province has made the final call, regardless that it doesn't necessarily have to factor in as the HDA does. When we are present in the province, like Mpumalanga and Mpumalanga, they are using our work completely. In Western Cape, we only focus on the end-to-end stage, and Western Cape on the land. In Eastern Cape, Eastern Cape refers to their own land acquisition, but in most of the other provinces, they are using us, and we basically running their entire project, but they're still trying to make the decision about the acquisition of private land. On Mpumalanga, just to complete, we are assisting with private land acquisition. There is some public land acquisitions that have been identified, and we are planning the moment we conclude with province exactly what support they require. There will be a more detailed roadshow to all of the municipalities to solicit additional land needs and requirements so that we can then complete them and start filling in our media process. Mpumalanga is mainly land assistance at this stage, but we are moving to public pipeline assistance and mining town assistance and ISU assistance. And it's depending on us concluding this agreement with the province so that we can put staff in the province and get the work going. Again, HDA cannot, we do provide standard services to provinces, but the more detailed work requires the province to sign and support, and it's for a period of time, 3 years, 5 years. It's not an ongoing automatic scheme. Taxi building workshops, we provide the taxi building support on GIS, so that we can train the officials how to use our system, how to engage with how to do systems and drawbacks and so on. We also do quite a bit of capacity building work on informal settlements upgrading, especially for in-situ informal settlements upgrading. The tendency is to relocate and do greenfield projects with informal settlements upgrading. So we focus our work training on informal settlement upgrading, and much more last year with the National Department's NASH program. We did introduce 3 capacity building workshops in the provinces where we have agreements on informal settlements upgrading, and also then more specifically on land matters for implementation and upgrading. We also do some land workshops and land information sharing, so that municipalities know how can they request land, what can they make it offer private land, how does the HDA assist, what can HDA do, and we do those in the provinces so that people are familiar and the municipalities are familiar, even the provinces are familiar how we work and what we do. specifically to new the informal settlement upgrading. The informal settlement upgrading support that we provide, we do it under the banner and with the support of the National Department of National Upgrading Support Program. So National is responsible for certain provinces, and when we have offices, we're responsible for those provinces. And we provide the technical support to those provinces. So in the POPO, in the Northern Cape, in the Free State, we are completely responsible. We share what with, and then the National Department that is coming in the Free State, Mpumalanga and the Western Cape. They provide the technical support. We do collaborate. So in terms of your question of what support is being provided in the Eastern Cape, currently National has done rapid assessment in municipalities, and the province has to come up with an informal settlement upgrading strategy, and then the next stage, the more detailed technical plan is for upgrading. And as I say, the National Department needs that one. We have an office there, we do support as required and when required. But otherwise, in informal settlements, we do rapid assessment work. We do technical feasibility to keep the people in situ. We do land tenure security work. We do project preparation for basic security provision. And then community enumeration. We also look livelihoods and livelihoods assessment and try and engage with the municipalities to get some sort of livelihoods programs going. So child care centers or job creation activities that we assign in those communities and work based on the livelihood plan that we share. So informal settlement is not just about the project and upgrade, but also the livelihoods and getting activity, economic activity going for the people in those areas. Then there was a question about land and how the valuation.
I'm hoping you answer that.
Yes, okay. I'll make this the last one. But the land and how we ensure that we are purchasing land at the value and value for money. Certainly, we do pre-assessment on all land. Our seasonal team does that. We don't align for problems with that. That gives us a recommendation whether to acquire or not acquire. We get pre-valuation of any property, and the valuations are done independently by different companies. And pending the outcome of the valuations, we either enter into negotiation, and we use the lowest valuation as the starting point. So whatever the seller is asking, we start with the lowest valuation, and we don't exceed the highest valuation. If we cannot reach a negotiated solution, HTA has the power to recommend an appropriation. So that also will ensure that we get good value for money at the end of the day. So let me leave it at that. I've highlighted the difficulties in the process.
Chair,
I'd
like to just conclude and summarize. There were two questions that weren't answered. The one was in relation to visibility. About 1% we do have people with disability, about 1% of our staff. And the question about the number of properties, she both figured out right in the sense. The reason why the 16 is right in the sense that he owned and controlled 16 properties, but two of them were not transferred at the point of the report. So the report's got 14. Those were actually transferred to our bank. The balance, the other two actually are in our bank now. So the thing was more up to date than the reports. So currently our portfolio 16 properties, but at the time the report 14 were actually in our bank. Now, the committee has picked up, I think, three crucial areas we are concerned, and I think from the HTA's point of view, I hope you will come to expect us to be honest in our meetings with you, respectful in our responses, and trustworthy, in the sense that you can rely on us doing what we say. And there were three that I think that were raised. One is the issue of transformation. I think that first you must understand that yesterday is only 5 years old. Within that period and across the spread, I think that we do conform to a national, in fact, a better national priority. We're in a slightly different situation from the report to what you see across, but bear in mind that, firstly, in terms of female representation, we are way above what the national requirement is in terms of women in management. In terms of racial representation, the extra parity consists of an Indian female, a colored female, one white male, one white female, and an acting white male. That changed because of a recent resignation. But we are mindful of that, and the board is very concerned about it as well. And I think you will see a more expanded EXCO the next time we meet with you. But it is an issue for us and one that we constantly work with. The second one was around the question of growth and targets. At one level, these targets are not set by ourselves. These are targets that we work in conjunction with the National Department. The 10,000 hectares, for example, is set by the NPSA. We're targeting 2,000 hectares a year. In the second quarter, we're already close to that 2,000. The problem with land acquisition relates to the identification is not the problem. It's the acquisition that's the problem. And as Alyssa has indicated, that has to do with what are the processes of funding and what are the processes of acquisition, particularly from state departments. It is a reality that getting land out of other state departments, the expense of 10 years is not unusual. We've managed to kind of get it down to 2 or 3. In some cases more rapid than that, but that's the reality that we deal with. And the control at this point, the AJ is not an independent entity in that sense, primarily because we don't have a lot of capital money. And therefore we rely on province or national to make money available. But the growth and spread are very important. We think we are making an impact in those provinces where we both see that we are an agency of theirs. Provincial, national, and local. And the third issue is about the integration of human settlements. This has developed us since 1994, at least. And we hope that the spatial planning framework that you are now part of framing will ensure that the focus of departmental investment, at least, comes within the principle of the National Spatial Plan. And that will overcome the issues of spatial projects. But the reason it happened is because it's cheaper to go out there. It's cheaper to go out there and it's easier to work on greenfield time. The issue of coming close into town means more expensive land and you're dealing with informal settlement upgrades. And that's where communication is vital, because you're dealing with community and community issues all the time on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a weekend basis. And so working with informal settlement upgrade is probably the most difficult area. And those people who are responsible for doing it generally try and do a greenfield where there aren't people they have to deal with, which is why probably why we have the extent we have. So that's our report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Housing Development Agency. We are going to now move to the National Home Build Administration Council. Obviously, that means they should be changed of six so that they can then sit there and the HDA can kind of sit where they are sitting. So we do a musical check. I'm hoping that the SDA is not going, and it's got that change of chairs, not leaving the device. As we hand over to the NHRC now to table their announcement. Thank you very much.
Chairman number 1, you are from NHRC. My name is Mohamed Mian, I'm the CEO. I'm accompanied by my manager. Not all of them say we are trying to implement cost cutting measures. So that don't try the entire management system. But
I see you not all men.
I'll say the women are left behind. The women are left behind to run organizations. I push them to them to run the organization once the men are out of the issue. Thank you very much. On my right here, we have our newspaper, which I started on the 1st of October. It is Shafiq Abraham, that's trailer. So if it is fair for you to check that, that is what I've been correcting you. Time goes on when we inform you that we are in the process of the paper, and we just started now from the 1st of October. I will be Mr. Aurel Marada, who is the manager responsible for strategy and economic information. And I will be Mr. Sonder Boy, who was the former ex-CFO. But it's now financial manager that we make sure that between him and the table there's a proper transition and also handover. That's why he's also coming up here, but we can handle over to the new CFO. Chair, we've provided the presentation and I check you that member of the bank.
Yeah, and Mr. Miyagi, I know that you're the short in
convenience.
Yes. But I also know that you're going to speak to the board.
Yes.
Thank
you. I want to do our attempt, Chair, so that we don't spend the entire thing and talk to the board. Chair, I think the energy actually, I'm not going to take you through the vision and the mission. I'm sure by now already know who we are and what we're trying to do. But if you can just move to our products and services. This is what we do at the energy actually. We enroll new homes. We do provide training for the home builders and also the registration and the renewal, the inspection of the homes. We provide forensic investigation and assessment. Also to home builder dispute resolution, the hindrance between home builders and also the homework, litigation, and geotech investigation. So those are our services that we provide. From a government point of view, these are the committees that we have, and for the 62 that by 64 of them are in place and are operational. This is our culture, and also the 62 that. Chair, this is just the overview, some of our performance in terms of the overview, but if you go to the annual report, there's a detailed presentation of each. All of those and compare between 1st and 13 and also 13 and 14, and then you're gonna see that this there's been slight improvement in Canberra, in Canberra there's underperformance, but I'm gonna explain why in Canberra there's underperformance. If you see on the registration, we've covered 0.7%. The rewards also we've done 19%. For the enrollment, we've done not very good, less than 30%. But the enrollment check. I mean, while at each day, we prepare the potential provinces. If they tell the numbers, we take those numbers and put them on APT. If they had a purpose, we're going to have a purpose. We're not transmitting them, we're helping them. With our geotech investigations, with our engineers that are deployed to the provinces to help with that problem. So, it is their problem, but also it becomes our problem. And, you know, put the sentences to deal with it. The next enrollment of home, it is an issue that we don't like to report, but it is happening, it's a phenomenon. That we're trying to achieve, that it can't go up, must go down. As you can see, our target, yes, we have to target, but our board has made it very clear that it should be slowing. It's very difficult to avoid the target for later problems. You know, those ones discourage it, but unfortunately, it's happening. People think that we're caught, and then we subsequently throw our inspector, we find another building, and then we issue non-compliant notices, and then we talk, and then we force them to enroll the houses as part of it. They don't know, of course, with penalties and so forth. Inspections, you can see that again, the runoff check, as we said, that we are now producing in house, and we're quite encouraged with it. Chair, the training of home builder youth who is not doing very well, there's a reason I think I gave to that to our training study. Along the year, last year, we decided to slow down our training and review our strategy, that becomes hopa, it becomes also very much transformed to what it means with the center. So we can see therefore that the general complement and the youth also we can achieve that target, but there was a reason. But I can tell you now, if you look into our first and second quarter, those numbers are going up because of the numbers that we've trained during the last quarter of the Safari Shine. Those numbers are coming up, so those numbers are going to try to come up. So, in a nutshell, this has become our core performance as an issue. So, you can see the areas that don't do well and the areas that we have done well. But again, the two areas of training, if you put the measures in place, so you can actually feel that. These are the relevant categories I'm not going to take through, but it tells you that in South Africa, the house does not exist. And this is the first quarter from 0,500 to 1,000,000, and 1,000,000 to 2,000,000, 2,000,000 to 5,000,000, and 5,000,000 above. And then you give categories and the total that you're talking about. And you say, in that category, in Antarctica, 48,097 houses were actually built in the last financial year in South Africa. And it gives you the category. So you can see a record. When you want to measure the government intervention, the fees, you'll see a great work supposed to make in that intervention. So that's 0 to 500,000 K. That's the area that wants to target the government. But about that, that becomes the private sector intervention and approach. But you can see that we have those numbers. And we're comparing this with the banking sector so that at least our numbers do actually talk to one another. Chair, well, what is that now report? We didn't give you just comparison between one financial year and the last and the last financial year that we do. We did a 7-year. So that we are able to check what has been taken and introduced in the sector. And when I see all the other graphs that we have provided to you and the annual report, that if you look at 2007, 2008, 2009, that was the booming session. That's where everything was happening. It was very nice in South Africa. You know, everything was happening. But after that, you can see that there's been a slight drop, then starting to pick up on the 2011-2012, 2013, and also 2014. But also projections going forward now that the increase boom in the property market, not boom, but a boom that has been happening. Also, you've seen the report from FNB about 2 years ago that gives a projected growth, especially the lower end of the market, where your teachers, police, and everyone are starting now to get access to mortgage finances and so on. So, these are the registration and renewal that we've been able to achieve in the national insurance. So, you can see the number that we've been able to achieve about 15,000 or so. These are the average growth in terms of the registration. You can see it also went up, went down, went up, and it shoot up, and now it's average. This also tells you exactly whether, from a business perspective, are we able to target builders? Who is coming in as? Are we able to raise customers here? Are we able to sustain those that we have? And I think it's a big matter that we are trying to improve on the relationship aspect to say, in each province, who is our top 200 builders? And we will not define the category of the how do we define them. Not the CIDB, but we define our own, because of the framework that we need to utilize and so forth. So that when we're the builder, when we want to build a house, then we can therefore be able to say who is who in each province, who are they, and profile, and everything. So we are being able to put that information together. But otherwise, you can see for the last 5 years, what has been going on with the and the demand. These are the number of people in government, because you can see they're going up here. That's the last column. From 2011 to 2013 and 2014, the numbers are going up. That's quite encouraging. And we project also that this current financial year, that will grow about 55,000 jobs. So this is very much encouraging. This is something that we are trying to work on, because we also analyze what are the plans approved vis-à-vis home and work. Because we plan according to what are those plans that are getting from the provinces, municipalities, but again, what comes and goes. So you can see that it seems we're closing the gap now. In that one. But in the area that we really want to work on, that there's no gap in between. First of all, home and road, at least there should be a correlation between those. The non-subsidy share is 0%, for us in terms of the data project, but we're working with the provinces, it's just going down a bit, and we're happy with the information that we're doing, both from our administration and the provinces and the municipalities. The trends for launch and the complaints cost, as you can see, that the complaints cost are not able to resolve. You can see the numbers, of course, they are growing up. But again, what has been, we are able to resolve the rest of the launch is the very minimum that you have to manage. Of course, we can't raise why 100%, you know, with regard to the financial year review. The conciliation handle is a very difficult process, you know, between the homeowners and homeowners.
but we do that, that those qualifications are decreased, that the number are fluctuating. But you can see that in 2008 they were very high. That is where the property boom was. So there was a lot of problems between the two. So that's where we've been. But you can see now it's gone up and they've gone down again by 50% what to go up. But what control it? What minimize this population that we're ending? The non-subsidy inspection, as you can see how many we've been able to do, both in the non-subsidy sector and also vis-a-vis the houses that have been inspected. So you can see the houses is 78,000. The inspection is also close to the 1,000. So you can see that indeed, we are doing a lot of inspections now vis-a-vis the number of houses. Average, you can see that it's between 6 and 8 inspections that are doing. Remedial works, I'm sure you've seen this question before, just asking to say, a good advice, let me just confide that. This is non-subsidy, that means it's your mortgage bond. But nothing to do with your subsidy, so far we have not had a major change on the subsidy. This is mostly your mortgage, finances, houses. We've got about 95 claims. As you can see, when we say settlement, our ad says, you can settle for about 500,000. If the house is, or the work that is done is more than 500,000, you settle 500,000. Training is 1, roof is 43, superstructure 48, substructure 19, foundation is 3. We are limited to the foundation one share, because that's where the meter from is. If you want to change the foundation, that's how we work, kind of the problem, but it gives you an idea of what are the issues that are dealing with from the remedial work that we do. And these are the project and home development over the last 7 years on the subsidy. Share work that is meant for the department, and there are times where there is a correlation between our numbers and their numbers. Because I know that you're going to ask the question, say, why, therefore, if their target was probably more than 200,000, why 119,000, you know, and we're trying to actually address that because it's out of our control. What we have written now is that we have to get that approved business plan. Approved business plan means that it's what the DG has signed on against each agency. Then we'll be able to collect the number. But for now, previously the numbers were what our project managers have been able to affect to the professional manager of the various professional department. But we're trying to correct it so that it's given an analysis to say, fine, problem is, this is what we're able to give up. But then it's going to say, home enrollment is so many numbers, inspection is so many numbers, so therefore there must be that correlation that you're talking about. But these are the numbers that we've been able to achieve in the last financial year, the last round of 13 and 14. But you can see that the number slightly dropped between 2013 and 13 and 14. So that's what I was looking for that. These are inspections, you can see a one up, considered a broken comment. First 30, the business is 14. You can see 179 in the last financial year, it's a problem of 8,000. The training, I was talking about that, there was one, there was an achievement, and there was a reason why it was an achievement. These are the training by category chair, we'll try to quantify, to say, what kind of training, good training, exactly what is the number. But if you go to our report, you specify the gender, the area, and so forth, but this does give you an overview of what you should be able to achieve. And the youth, if you already talked to Peter Clark. So this is the employment by refugee, and I want to take you to our other report, I think it's page 36 and 35. It gives you the details of what is our staff complement, how it's broken down in terms of the rate. You will see that we have a total of 549 employees. Of those employees, 48% are male, 52% are female. That number, if we take it to 30,000 numbers, 214 are male, 253 are female. But if we break down again, now there's a table there. That tells you that 85% is black or African, 6% is color, 3% is Indian, 6% is white. Then if you look at our health report, the first 2 pages, you can see our ability management across the sector in terms of gender and everything. So we'll try to make sure that we actually have an employment equity plan, but also we apply it. But also check the report that we submit our report to the labor department to check whether indeed are we online with our employment equity plan. And I can say that for now, we're also on track to actually achieve that. Okay, this slide tells you that indeed, as a regulator, we have to discipline the drill. So it tells you that in the last financial year, we've been able to conduct about 328 hearings of both chairs. 202 builders were suspended. So that means they can't do this. Because the suspended membership, they don't have the right to operate. So you can see province by province, how many numbers we have, and you can see the biggest one in Bobo. What's the case? And then you can see that it goes down to the other province. But they are ready. Why would I actually point to that? But again, sir, we're not a very good case in this country. This is done by all the community that is independent of us. It's people that are independent, they are lawyers, they work with the game, they work for the computer, we present our case, they adjudicate, and then they come to this conclusion. So, these are the numbers that we're talking about. So, if you tell us that people are not graduating, the numbers we said that it is. How can two where they should have been? They can't go for it and say, they come to us and they should renew or they should apply again. But we look at the companies instead of having them. This is the code of conduct method. Remember, builders have the right by the code of conduct. So this type helps the better that the method is able to deal with what has been told, what has been in progress in the last financial year. Recovery check. We also do recovery. Remember, when insurance company, an insurance company gives not going to recover. You go and speak what is the problem, but over the time has to say what went wrong there. So these are the recoveries that we've been able to do in the last financial year, about 1.6 million, but we have to increase this. This has also correlated to the previous class of the legal work. To say on the legal work, that's how we spend about 8.5 million. Then what does it mean? We can't therefore recover the 1.6 million whenever we spend 8.5 million. There must therefore be a change, some bit of leverage in terms of the fact why we need to work with this with our legal partners. Chair, when it comes to the aging, we thought it's important to give this slide. That's the first, we had a qualified point of opinion, and this is the method of the public. Then this was unqualified, don't call it unqualified. But you see, there's been a case check. 10 issues. It's a regular expenditure, important information, and IT. So those are the 3 issues that AG said address this method. Again, the year of the review that we're talking about. Yes, we had unqualified, but still, the regular issue. And I'm going to take you through what was the regular and what are the issues that were identified by the AG. But again, on the moment information, not the issues. Major is portfolio evidence. If you say you drafted, what you say, those 100,000 transactions, where are the reports? Can the AG go to a court house and say that can confirm that this is case, so many inspections, here are the reports? So we're not wanting that in that aspect change. And we're especially currently addressing that to say, where is the portfolio case? So month in out, month out, when we go to portal reports, we make sure that indeed we have portal in our internet, where our manager has different deposits. The portfolio evidence and have there so that our internal auditor can both verify and check it. But it's one area that has been found working by the AG and by being addressed to the IG. Chair, we are addressing the AG. Please don't post that on the IG. Go back to what was the problem between 12 and 13 over to our improvement. So it says, don't wait for money. We agree they reduce the cost. We have shown the problem. So don't put it for losing because indeed we're still necessarily moving from corridor to set. But the issue that you're going to find the AG, you're still going to find the issues. We're not yet there, that's what we want to be. So those are the issues that you have been able to find. For the regular expenditure, the major issue check, that has gone down from 400 million to about 25 million. The major issue around our traveling, unfortunately, we're part of that by the AG. We say, on our traveling, we should have prepared three codes and so forth, and we're using one food service provider. But they said, we should have used three codes, even if those are the ones that we were selected, but we should have used new. To say, there are issues raised by AG, this is how far we are. Where are we putting the timeline? Are we using the target or not? So we work for that. We also report to our audit and bring to manage the committee to tell us what we are. But also, this becomes our balance of hands, the management.
Thank you.
Continue, there's somebody who's trying to sort of start with us, you don't mind? I think this is Mr. Swan. I want to start. Why is Mr. Swan? Chair, this is our common environment. You know, this is what AG and enhance our work with white. You can see the face. Once they drink it, as you can see that, for you that shape, you can see the face looks good, but one and two is great. But we're getting there. If you can see now our second point, there's much improvement in terms of that. If you look at the financial improvement management, again, there's no prevention in the financial, but again, quite reputable, especially the red one. You can see it's around our IT system. Also, it's around our review and monitor our laws and regulations. So, if you feel very effective, that is exactly what we are trying to address. Government, they do a thing very well. But all the government committees, everything, will report on time to the department, and so forth, so we do quite well there. Check this is excellent. That will come up. To say, yes, aging your brain is better. But again, let's monitor whether our electrical issues, what is the issue? What is the action then? Is it a repeat of our the new thing? But again, we are not supposed to address that. So in our management committee on a monthly basis, all the money that must report to this via our audit and risk committee, but also our internal audit. But we present it also to our board on a quarterly basis to check indeed whether we are able to address this. You can see that the area is the supporting document, it's a regular expenditure. We've developed a review on our supply chain management processes. We've employed those people who are giving our training in terms of our staff, what the issue about their understanding, how they have to follow the PMA and federal regulations. The portfolio statement, again, is not afraid to say, what do we do? We'll make sure that this becomes a key performance indicator for all managers. To say, as a manager, it's your responsibility to make sure that portfolio statement is gathered and especially for the people's sake. Information technology, again, we're for the next plan around this one. And those both are the action plans that we've been able to come up with. Check the next slide is the annual report. I'm not going to take you through. I'll take you through to all the key performance indicators. What has been achieved, not achieved, and the reasons why they've not been able to achieve. And so forth, how they will be able. So we're trying to compare what is the annual performance plan, what has been achieved, and what has not been achieved. The project implemented, I'm not going to go through those ones. There's a budget for the year under review, Chair. Yeah. So you can see here in terms of our payment terms and the fees that we've been able to receive from the builders. The moment was self-sufficient, which depends on what we are generating from the builders and also from the enrollment, so you can therefore be able to see what we've been able to generate. The provisions, I'm not going to take you through that. This one can skip. Yes, Chef, let me take you through this one. Here, in terms of our summary, you can see that our net income for 2014 was 7.3, in 2015 was 1.1 million, the higher for 4.7. The expenditure, I can see. What did we have to do then, Chef? This whole program, with this kind of budget. We said, we can't utilize the actual amount of 2014. Let's develop a budget. So, we asked all the managers to say, now for the past 3 years, we've been comparing this to say, what are the actual things that we expended? And they said, it's not scientific. It's not actually able to tell us exactly whether are we over-budgeting or under-budgeting. And therefore, give us the problem to say, why therefore do we have a higher budget and therefore expenditure that doesn't even come nearer to your budget? So, that's what we call a zero-based budget. So, what is now the best analyzed budget for 2015, 2016? And these are the areas on the year-to-year expenditure, as you can see, the expenses and so forth. And the subplot for the year, you can see the trend. This is our operating expenses in terms of the direct area that we're able to give you. But you can see again, what is the total expenses? The budget approved, what I'm just talking about. So say our budget was 8 million, 8.3 million, but we spent only 500 million. Why? Then we see the certain area that are either under budgeting or over budgeting. Therefore, we've been able to look into those that are the same. Let's do those correctly. Otherwise, that would give us a correct analysis. And these are all the investments, Chair, to say where is money going to. Okay. These are the claims and provisions. And also what we've been able to pay. So you can see, Chair, in terms of what we're projecting and also vis-a-vis the limit at work and what we've been able to cover, pay, and so forth. So you can see for the country. and it is a financial notice of the government debt, the income advance, and so forth. And this is our report check. Thank you very much. I'm not going to get you through the quite report, but it's very much detailed. But it tells you whether we are solvent or our utilities and so forth, and it's like from the report, it tells us that it is less sustainable for the next 3 to 5 years to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mia, and thank you for getting that guarantee in the future. As far as I'm asking my colleagues, I think it's important to make this observation that, in terms of your work moving forward, there is a bit of improvement that you have moved for qualified from sometimes. But why is there a bit concerned about the fact that in the last year, the same body findings made by the transgender for 3 years now. They went to the same design, temporary, and IT for 3 years. Once you appreciate the fact that you have explained the plan and how you want to deal with this, but I'm worried, because I also want to feel that this is the last year you have this plan, I hope, and probably this is the last year you have this plan, but it looks like probably you are not able to deal with this. So maybe one of the things we will be that as this committee is in Senegal, who was really we won't have to wait for the end of the year in 10. Maybe you must really kind of support us to unbox on these issues. Because for me, that is a lack the fact that the issues are sitting there for 3 years. So maybe we just need to make sure that something will happen. Because we are going to sit here and wait for another annual report, and it comes with training. So maybe that's that. And saying to you, please, what can you tell us how far you stand and how far you've got to resolve this issue? But I'm also asking my colleagues to comment on this stage. For me, when I looked at the report, that was asking to make them think that these crises were sitting there for the last 2 years. Honorable Mr. Bongwana, Honorable Jacob, is that sure? What did you say? No.
Especially to the irregular expenditure for the previous years.
I think that the figures of the expenditure from this culture background. When asking that is that if you are meeting with the office of the professional study, these are being discussed in your meetings. What is that that is stopping you to improve on that? But firstly, I would like to see the differences. How much is that advertising? Because when we end up saying, so it's done purposely. Thank you.
Honorable Chairman, he said most down from 500 million to the $5 million. He has come back, plus 500 million to the $5 million, but still there, and he still is there, but he didn't come back.
Okay. It's a mine is on data and on but according to the Act, all things are supposed to enroll in 15 days before it's started to. So now,
yours is about 1,750.
So a later enrolled to. Why are you doing this? What kind of a favor are you doing to business and enrollment? Another interesting is that revenue management, it shows that the accounting authority did not take effective and appropriate steps to collect any money to that required by the public finance management and the treasury regulations. What are we supposed to call it?
Thanks, sir, and thanks to the NSPSB for the presentation. Two aspects. One, is the one that the chair had advised at Tashimon. When you were explaining the NSPSB data, you spoke about the recourse aspect. But then when I read the AG report, it's talking about tenders that were advertised for the green material and some tenders that were not really, the service is not prepared, but we didn't go for tender for 26,500,000. That's what the AG said. And maybe to finish in, for the previous year, what was, I mean, it can be 100 million of travel. There might be other things that were counted in there that were irregular when it comes to the money. So maybe we could just help me understand that. And secondly, when we're talking about not claims being received regarding family housing, because in the last 3 years as a department, we have spent over 2 billion cents rectifying houses, practically houses. But in your presentation, when you're talking about all those claims received, it's like what, none in the subsidy market. And it makes me wonder, or I'm not sure whether it can comfort that all the houses that are failed in the subsidy market, they all of a sudden become of the superior quality that they are not able to register the case to the affair. Or is it an education issue that people believe that because now they have a house, it's like a favor to them, and if they are defects, they are not raising them. Because I don't believe that it's possible that we can build 150,000 houses, practically houses, and not even one of them. Maybe there's something I'm missing there. People just clarify the process in terms of how the recipients of subsidy housing are being educated in terms of their warranty or guarantee. I don't know the terms that you use. Because when I go into these new homes, like the ones that I expected 2 weeks ago, it had defects. And I had to go to the construction policy to go ahead and fix those defects. And I'm not saying it's true, you know, but I had to go to him and say, you have to go and fix it in 2 days' time. So we must tighten how we leave the information to the subsidy, the houses that are free market color. I don't think it's possible that over 100,000 houses cannot be repaired one thing in the first place.
Okay, Chair. Chair, when she opens, she said by touching my question. But
on this question,
I want to cover specific issues on this issue by the Inspector General with us today for 3 years. I wanted to ask, were you able to identify some people responsible for this or people who are from state countries? But people who are responsible for this shortcoming. And also, are there any measures that are taken to prevent this happening again? This brings me to my experience of where I went, where our performance bonus was determined by how much you have contributed in the different roads report. So I can't really address like that. But it seems to me that something has to be, there must be a way of making sure that it's not going to, because it's 3 times how good the source report has been. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It seems that the Chair has taken people's questions there. The issue of areas that are not corrected after the 8 years indicated must be corrected, I think is a worry to the portfolio. And now maybe my angle would be, are there consequences for those that would have followed procedures? That would be my angle. One other area that I want to check, on this issue of enrolling houses, quite a new and good development. When one travels to South Africa, in the rural areas, people are putting up beautiful, expensive houses. But I'm not sure if those individuals can also approach yourself to their houses, or where they are about to build them, give their land, and so in the rural areas, what can be done? Because we need to advise people. We can't allow anybody to produce the beautiful houses in the rural areas. I've been in Venda, I've been in almost everywhere, in Bonka Venda and Kaduna, they're putting beautiful houses. They must be reserved that somebody must be checking them, those people that keeping it, the paper they are showing. The legal and everything is correct. Otherwise, I think the CEO is Mr. Unani. He's very good in presenting. It's very difficult to find fault. Sometimes you can tell you something that you are suspecting. And you can give a good market. So I think we can. It's like I do indeed, because we speak for the poor. You see, this government, the government of the poor. Indeed, what happens in our countries, the construction of houses, I still think the member Ghana's concern is not far from what we see in our own countries. So I think we want to hear you.
Chairperson Gili, from you know, I think NHRC was secret us when I said I have comments that the director to all the chiefs and the chairperson zoomed in on that we need those quarterly reports on the basis of the findings of the AG. Those plans and everything those things. The second one, you know, really, in most cases, AG will find whether it's in the equality or improvement or something like that. You invited quotations on the cost that should have been open, gone to open tender process. But not simply to invite quotations, no friends, okay. In this government, you know, I'm disappointed. How do you run this organization here is this. What were you thinking? What were you thinking that money? What do you think we're doing with the public fund? Because the funds that are given to you, they are points that govern those funds. I mean, or not part of okay. Not giving funds, but they account to the National Department of really, really how if you went for us, you at the end of the day, you are going to be audited by HE really how. How can we trust you that we get very common? Can you really safely convince us that we get very common if the business is run like this? I would have been at least if the report says you were just leaving all the quotations where even on the goods that we're supposed to procure through open tender. It's wrong, but I would at least say not to invite questions.
Are we getting very formal now? Thank you.
Very much. They are going to respond. I know that the temptation sometimes is the public or the society do well beyond our control. But I just wanted to speak to the book, and that's what I was going to effect. We are public. I think what we need to do when we do civil defense is to apply liability to the people that are doing those. So we are not qualified to be effective. That's not us. We are public. But that's fine. No. Not only for that, but actually doing that as a, not as a portfolio company, but maybe as a GNM, and that's it. Yeah, of the GA, not as a portfolio company. Yeah, can the NHGRC respond?
Thank you very much for the question. Let me start with the convention as well. Because Chair, we could put information before you to say where we're going and what actually stands the people to get. But if you do not do that, I don't think we can do justice to this comment. That's why we put an action plan that we have proposed to the department on a quarterly basis. The AG is sitting in our meeting of the whole Chinese committee, for example, the US committee. They look at this report and say, are we doing well or not? They're able therefore to tell us whether we're addressing this issue or not. So, they are in our meeting to apply that, but also inform us whether indeed are we achieving something. The second issue also, just that's not to raise an alarm to me. Unfortunately, if you go to the report from page 84, 85 to 86, these are these cases, the labor expenditure, because they were paid 3 years ago or 2 years ago. The unfortunately, that those funds were running, we're still paying. Therefore, we have to declare that. They were picked up the first day of running by the agent. The unfortunate part that they were not able to come back, they were still running, were still paying. So they were declared the register. So in a financial statement, we were going to declare them upfront. Okay, they are still running, but they're paying. They are not the agent. They are the first year of policy. But second year, third year, those contracts are still running. Therefore, that is to declare the register. That's the unfortunate part of accounting. You can't say, first year, one thing, this is first, therefore, second year, you can't. No. We are still seeing that contract. Because you said red book, it's still red book. But what's the pay? And let me tell you, some of the contracts is what has happened with the previous CEO when we were actually hired by this CEO. It's very bad. That's what happened to some of them. So you can see the numbers here. So I'm not members who are now saying we are better. No. We're not. We try to contain what is the balance for safety. Because of the financial equity standard. We can't disregard what has happened in the previous election when you actually continue to pay, and that's what they've been looking for. That's what I've attended you, that look at page 84 of the annual report to see what was in 2014, what was the state tax, then be able to calculate the number, to say what is be able to actually continue as a organization, and whether indeed I'm doing well or not. Until those contracts are run out, Chairperson, this man from the same AG actually finds that, and that's the data. So, we're not really, it's not blue metal that we're looking into in the mix,
by the fourth methodology in Sunday night, and we've been able to actually do this. So I just want to make sure, because I know that media is here, because at the NHGRC, as we do the concept of non-judging, it's in case media is here. I want to before the COVID to be here. I don't want to address that, so I don't think NHGRC is here to educate us so much money. Where that money goes to go? Please read the report. You'll be able to get the facts of what is happening. The issues are not changing, remember? We made it here. When I came to the college, I said our training was not well founded on good basis. We had to go back to the drawing board and say, who are we training? If we're going to train the youth, we are now working with the NYTA. The NYTA, give us the youth, give us the number. Because you know, that's the state. It's not our state. We work with women, foundation, crowding. The crowding give us a number of results. So the number that you see there, they do integrate. Those products with advantage, women, youth, and those with disabilities. But with disabilities, we are having a challenge there. And we are trying to address that in terms of where do we source the numbers and how do we make sure that we provide them with relevant skills. You can't give them overall skills or general skills. It's to say, what skills can they be able to provide in this area? And they cannot be able to do just physical construction. They can be in 2X, they can be engineers, and so forth and so forth, to say what are they able to provide. And so indeed, those numbers, if you look at it, break it down, you will find that indeed there is women, there is youth, through disability, and social disadvantage people. So that's what we're going to do. The number of centers, I think I went to the committee in my last presentation, I gave the number of the progress. We have 200 plus inspectors that I can still even finish the appeal. Average, our inspectors are able to do 3, 4, and 8 inspections per house. Average. That's why it's the number that we're able to do about 250,000 inspections. If we're out something that, we're going to achieve that. Precisely because we have to everybody pay the house, the business, and so forth. But how everybody is, what you do, they've got a plan, they've got a payment on a monthly basis, they've got a tax, they've got a personal allowance, they've got a cell phone, they've got a budget, all those things. Issues are paid for by any person. So the issue of them going out is no matter an issue now. They have to go out and inspect. So we say, average, each person with that analysis per month, there are between 15 and 20 inspections. No, it's okay, 8. 15 and 20 inspections. Then you know that it is our thing. I've said the strength of the culprits that I've said because the pure symbols and socialists are against the current people. Whatever the supply chain manager designed, because he has found money, we find that no, it's not into the store. We took him on task, he's lying. So it will actually break through the entire system and the host. Later government will not encourage it. Unfortunately, it happened. I'm afraid for it. Members, whether we like it or not, people think that they can divert the English graphic. We hold our inspector. As all the infections, you have a list of how that is wrong. But if you see something happening, go and ask the increases. What is happening there? If you think something happening, go and ask. Can I see your specific? Can I see the plan here? Have been wrong or not wrong? So that we get that to find out who actually is trying to become red. And no, that's the government can be able to pass through this parliament. So, yes, in the government, it should be zero pay. But unfortunately, the reality is that it is happening for the third of the fight. That is our act and see our report. What is it? When we do an enrollment or red government, what are the penalties that we should be able to impose? But yes, it's an error that we're concerned about. We can encourage it going forward. But it does happen. The issues of money through to any country, only one problem is checked. Only one. And they're arrested. And I don't want people to go out and say, you can see that I'm not saying that. You want people to do. They must be very humane. Even if they're not saying that, if you to put a case in the case, they must be able to say, you can be able to do the job. Where are they for? That's not the price. But that, in the gap is in the reduced time. For the reason, for the issue, I'm not going to ask you, for the reason, if I'm on the case, and you found one thing, what am I going to do? So the issue is that, yes, that gap has been there, sitting almost 128. Definitely it's now about 8 million or so, but we're dealing with it. If you're independent and all those things about the project, that would be for the SMP. But we are not in the debt, we are not in the debt. But the issue is, and it's very similar to men. Who is the support? Who is the supporting the documents to say, yes, it is. We're building houses, yes, we say X in the house. Here's the documentation you will get. But if we can't make sure that our information is isolated to us. If they do that, we are going to build it. Also, But then that also be the rules, but the same rules as the nation of Africa. So here, that has changed. If only it's the case. Other problems is the same as well advanced and well according to advanced, but only one problem, and there's a reason. So I want to make sure that don't call the nation of the USA, and then directly all the money. No. We agree that debt is going down as well. The change that the Senate, we do not have Senate. If you look into the report, it is step by step on page 85. What are the tests? What are they out? What happened? So, indeed, we do explain what are those coming from the previous test. So, this is the point. It's contained there. But to make sure that anything about some account that is essential at the time, was the important things and so forth. The issues about the claims, indeed, they do ratification, not three. But what we say is that you then be able to say what has been enrolled and not enrolled. So, remember, please, the department of central video, check on that. Those are previous projects that were never enrolled in NHGRC. Even before NHGRC requirement that all the RCP houses should be enrolled, that's what they're trying to correct. That's what they're trying to help them, not just forever. But going forward, it's an issue of time we're better than the department to say, let's make sure that all houses are enrolled and therefore do consumer education. That the beneficiaries must be aware that if you give them a house, you give them the one certificate, one admin, for them to actually claim to make that. But the thing, they must know, it's only structural ticket, not the intended truth, structural ticket. And therefore, the process has actually to be followed. And then also, one area, indeed, fortunately, I had a meeting with Ralph, because they worked in that chain. And we agreed on the process of going forward. For some of those houses are not enrolled. And sometimes they're not required at all to be enrolled. But I want to say that in the federal part, what the law is, we have to help our people. Once they spend the money, they go to RAF and federal. Now we are looking at the mechanism, and I think what we are ready to remember is going to report to you on how the volunteers, PHP, and so forth are going to be taken. But indeed, you can tell that we are looking into, and want to make sure that we get correct by ourselves and the various entities that we actually work with. So, Shane, I think what was the question? If I didn't know the first one, here's my apologies, but according to my list, is what I have. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nyali. As you move chairs and allow the estate agents and other sports to come in there, members and colleagues can quickly get a cup of tea or coffee outside. We are going to have a waiting tea. We're not going to wait for tea. As soon as that is in that set, we continue with all the dining sites. So, that's good to go and press it. So, we're not going to be waiting for anyone.
Chair, thank you very much. Can I get two members? At least two members from the next country to sleep and get us.
Thank you. with the 30 important commodities, sale process by selling also the labor to environment worker bushes and patients. We do this in the public interest of those big people of the public. And because we do have license for the agent, we can ensure that the license operators get adequate qualified operators in the market. And then we combat, of course, and the other process is a primary and regional extension, and one at a specific time. Our vision is to be a world-class stops regulator, and we really are looking to surpass the stakeholders' expectations of us. In terms of our structure, we must say that most of it is reporting also to the regulatory authority, but I really just want to say one of the new things that has been done by me is that we are hoping the regional office and we're focusing on changes in it first and also the rest of the case. But our plan is within the short term to open provincial offices in all provinces so we can better serve the needs of our vulnerable consumers in those areas. When we look at how our government structure is, the Defence Authority is a different gentleman, so that our board is laid out across the borders in terms of our a very large board. Those are made up specifically by estate agents who are currently in the industry, also people from civil society related to interest consumers, and also related professionals with new skills and legal financial tools and so on. We have a fully functioning organization in the state that all the governance structures are in place, all the committee operating the finance, comments of the channel regulations conference, all of those very subcommittees typically, including social and business transformation of operating and allowing the government and environment to operate optimally. In terms of our operational review, what we measure ourselves in our mandate is, and we have to register state agents, and we have an overview of the various categories of state agents that we do have. We have principal state agents who are saying that the owners of these business. There's a lot of principal state agents who are making new qualifications, and then there's interim state agents who are the new agents into the market, and they also give a license to every firm that is operating in Sweden. This is a difference between 2013 and 2014 stack, where there's been a drop in 2014 but a drop is not, because specifically we have left the industry, because we are very strong in enforcing the compliance environment in the best interest of the consumer. So those who do not meet the new compliance standards are submitting their audit reports to us to ensure that the money that they held in trust has been credited, we do not issue them a license to trade as they to find the opinion like that so that they can respond to the call to support the documentation. And by now also they have received their license to trade for 2014. We also look at the new interns. And we know that the review was a very strong project of trying to bring in 2,000 new black interns. They are going to say how many new black interns have already come into the industry, and we're still working on improving the numbers of our black members coming into the industry as a whole. But you can see a lot of people are hungry for industry, 5,000 new interns there is obviously pretty important. We're measuring the gender split of the black industry issue. So it's very much a female-dominated industry, and we are seeing that there is growth in those numbers as we are watching it. A lot more males are also coming to the industry, but we believe that this will be an industry dominated by females, which is for us. In terms of the complaints that we receive from the consumer, it's very important for us to measure how many new complaints we get, and largely what is the compliance health of the industries and the complaints that come with the structure for it. And then we go and investigate those complaints to ensure that we allow the consumer to express his complaint. We also get a response from the investigation to the state agent. And then we get it through a full process, including the disciplinary process. So we also sometimes get complaints that are not in our jurisdiction, those we refer to the body that came out, and we track how many of those we were able to complete. How many we still have pain now? Complaints can be quite simple, or routine, and complaints can be very complicated that involves and the processes and those will take longer to complete. In terms of the matters that we have taken in disciplinary hearings, we have a disciplinary committee, and we know that about 800 patients in 2014, and we were able to have some which is from the Eastern Congress of more than 90% of those are. And this is the work we're talking about, actually not correcting the matter, and we understand. But we also have appeal processes that do not happen to ruin, and we also going to look at appeal process. But generally speaking, we do think it's very common to use the specific interest of the vulnerable consumers. When you get a complaint, we run a state digital utility fund that has funds, like 600 million rand, and for the consumers to the system, when a consumer suffered pecuniary loss at the hands of the conduct of the state agent. So we do get those complaints and claims lodged to us. We get reported, we've got about 12 million rand with claims submitted to us. And in terms of the claims we have approved, for confirmation, there are claims that we rejected where it wasn't a valid claim, and then they're still paying the claims around 500 million rand. It's important that the loan process is not to get through, the consumer ends up receiving the capital that they've lost. Deposit is given to the state region for a rental deposit. It's not as money, and it should receive the credit. Or also, in some instances, we pay the interest as well, and in some instances, the cost is because they have used the private capital funds from those statements. We also define it too late. This is very important for men to inspect the conduct of the state region. And here we just give them an overview of all of the provinces where we did the inspection. What are the kinds of contraventions we find state agents are guilty of? So I'm not going to go into detail of the chair, but it just gives indication we find instances where state agents are operating in use. And that's why we can pay attention nationally of that instances where individuals are operating without the ability to find certificates of various categories of state agents, and those who are charged for these contraventions obviously expose the consumers. Important one that we measure is where there is primary contravention on the trust account. The state agents are allowed to take money from the consumers out there to keep it in trust. All those funds for 5 years or for the entire lease period, they can't give money to the landlord. There are instances where the consumer will give money in terms of the deposit. And if the state agent feels such an misappropriation, they will find this person to trust them. Take the license away from it, and we start processes with the consumer to cover the money. When the consumer cannot receive that money, we will give the consumer after the source of legal evidence in terms of the legal process. So we also look at other instances where we're not keeping sufficient account records. We also look at where the contract between the consumer and the buyer, seller, and tenant is completed. Qualified individuals are properly qualified as state agents, and we also look at what is their responsibility when it comes to the financial intelligence system, the money laundering efforts in property area, to make sure that they are identifying clients, keeping on record, and they are reporting suspicious transactions to the financial intelligence center. So when we look at this important issue, we had about 1,900 authorizations in financial year. And in terms of those kinds of inspections, I think I'm interested in what that is. Our inspection machine is made up of internal capacity that we do have, and also we do work firms to the national super small to various provinces that can also complete our inspection mission and they do those reports to us. In terms of inspection training, an important part of the EAE is now accredited and recognized as a professional body in the real estate sector. That's very much in line with what the university wants us to do in terms of continuing education. So we go through processes where we can ensure every state agent is properly qualified to operate in the park. So we run various examinations and also various times when, 4 times a year, when states can write board exams, qualified at various levels, and these events are available nationally and in the provinces. Where we take our human ethical report. I think this is also an important one for us. We would like to report that people should know that there are 15% vacancy rate, and it's always something that concerns us because if they are vacancy, we need to not deal with all of the aspects of the work factor of vacancy. We are really pushing really hard to fill all vacant positions. So, as a national organization, we will be increasing as we go out to the provincial offices. We will start ability to them. But we also need to understand that we report on how are we achieving with our various targets. And we are trying to ensure that those who have understood the same skills and components, we are creating a position environment for them to complete their studies so they can find themselves into a more qualified position. We have also working very much with our staff, and we can see that many of our staff in the student environment are taking up the challenge to student staff so they can use the qualified skill theory. So it's an important one for us. Student organization is also mostly feeder run at the various levels, and we are trying to improve that at all the highest levels of the organization there as well. In terms of financial statements, I think this is the overview we have as deep information we get. Important for us that for the financial year, we did make a surplus, and we also said comparatively, we had a lot of deficit was really to do with the patient fund. We have a defined patient fund program contribution there. And then the actual area that we should come up with a deficit of the employee benefits. And that calculation was into a deficit last year. This year, it was reversed and reinstated for us in a better position from our surplus. So, all the debt we do make surplus in the years that we operate. So, we're looking at income, with the issue of the defined certificate that we issued at the specific outcome, the margin decreased because some state is able to comply with what final they have to comply with in order to qualify their license to trade. And they also we have some revenue from the advance, more people are trying to qualify themselves in our specific sector. When we look at expenditure, our plan for that year was 1,500 inspections, we could not reach that target, so there was a decrease in the expense that area. And then in terms of our staff cost, there was a significant in terms of the patient population for the actuaries that created the extra expenditure in the of course. We also need an indication of our balance sheet, and you'll see that we're also good, and we are able to meet all our obligations, so we can't remain going concern. There are things that is self-funded. People think that we are not getting that type of allocation from the national department, but we are being funded from the industry that to manage the interest of the consumers out there. We also did here for the ratio analysis, which is the indication of what is the return on our assets and how our key ratios are actually operating. I think it's a good way for us to ensure that we keep sound financial health by looking at that. I think the stability fund is also an important tool that we have there, or if you're aiming to grow the fund and not at the expense of not paying out the money carried by the steward. So you can see that in our plan to improve of our net asset value in one sale for the last year prior year, but we see that as we do more consumer gain, it's more consumer growth in the financial transfer from us, and we can pay those in our key there. Now, Chair, in terms of our performance indicators, and maybe what we very upfront with this, and we go into the detail, the Auditor General found that our KPIs are not well defined. We are trying to put strategic objectives ahead of our day that we have no control of. We, for example, that was we tried to give an idea or estimate of how many people will write the exam, how many people will register for the exam, we have no control over that process. And they put a picture of the progression in one moving department with that to try and improve the way we design our key performance indicators so that we actually ensure that we can control. And so I think that there are businesses on the where we haven't met the requirements before we try to format the economic slot, not just to say it wasn't measurable, they were controlled with that. So there is a bit of our compliance programs where we try and improve the compliance of the state pages with the act. We also try to track here how many disciplines do we have, how many inspections do we do, what is the regime of licensing, and how can we ensure more compliance with that. Each of these slides gives us an indication of how we are tracking the various items. I think talking about that, looking at our consumer awareness, we have to up the double the tips of the dream stakeholder awareness. And see now in our new effort to set up from the agency at the appropriate time, how we double the effort and actually bring out more consumer
out there. We also try to channel resources into consumer awareness and some of other back office structures and get more online so that we can actually reallocate resources for the needs of the users out there. So in terms of our sustainability focus, it's important that there's always enough reserves out there so that any consumers can use money. We cannot meet the claims that come from the consumer out there. So that's important for us that we are very wise with the money that we invest it appropriately within the requirements of our regulated environment and grow that money, but we also ensure that the efficient of how we pay our money to the consumer out there that we require. In terms of the capacity building, certainly important for us that all the experiences we need to be required and we try to track that. This is something that we spend a lot of money because we have no control over how many people would register. And that's something that we leave with the department. Important for us as government is our audit report, and we can confirm the unqualified audit report. We look at what matters to emphasize the system we are see that we do that. Areas of non-compliance to the legal environment, specifically that are raised by the board of securities, if we look at how our boards are put together, there are five members of our state legal practices in which they are for consumer interest and professional. So it did happen that they found that probably members of our state agents on the board level were not in good standing in terms of what's required to be a state agent. Now, in the act, we found that this qualifies you immediately. You can restrain the category, and you haven't made the new requirements to hold your license, and then those things also should operate as a non-class of our own act. And the act requires this board to be a different officer that is coming straight. That is very in terms of the fourth general. And in terms of his internal objectives, the issues are still very not yet all our requirements, because these were not well tried. So here we have a particular audit report journey to show from 2019 until the last 5 years we've had unqualified audit report, and we are pleased to say that one of the items that we want to keep up with us, but also now looking now on the other issues including the government and all the other networks to make sure they also remain clean and we measure all the items that the audit journey shows about the important basic reason all our experts also have responsibility to deal with in the housekeeping matters, and we don't have to incur fines when it comes to that. Now, just looking what we are here at the specific space in the financial report, the resource table is important. You'll know that the proper petitions role is the one that will be presented this committee by the department very soon, or the Minister by the Minister, and then also we are focusing on consumer awareness campaign. Increase inspection in the big future of our consumer. The chair will be at the business people in the season, and I'd like to thank you, and then we can take some questions.
Thank you very much. This is where I also would like to thank you. That's the report from the State Agency of Transport Board. And tonight that today, one of the engineers is that they will take over from us and talk. And that's just for the any questions of clarity and comments. Honorable Ghana, can I see the two hands on that? Or Honorable Ghana first?
Basically, two more clarity-seeking questions. One with regards to the flight and the same frequency. It seems to be quite a large difference between, I think it's the 13 to 14 figures. Look at the value of the claims lodged versus the claims approved from 13 to 14. actually quite significant difference in the figures. In up until Elon Watch 2013, we had 9.8 million lodged, but approved of 982,000. When in 2014 there was 12 million lodged and 4.7 million. I'm just needing clarity on the major differences between them. What was actually, why? What the reason behind all those orders? And then the inspection stuff. Looking at the how many inspections are actually carried out on all the agencies? Are those figures based on every registered agency? Or how many do you deal with? Could you give us an idea of the percentage of number of agencies inspected versus the overall number of agencies which are registered? To get a clearer picture of what the actual contributions are, the real number of contributions are.
Thanks, Seth, and thanks to the EAB. Three aspects. I'll start with a good one. It's good to see that we're empowering up and coming account systems. So that's good. Something that might be coming in, that we're not always waiting for the info. So that's good from the EAB side. On the compliance aspect with the complaint statistics, I see that we have actually gone backward in the number of cases that are being investigated and finalized. The number of cases increased by give or take 10%, but if you look at the numbers that are not investigated, we have doubled that. So maybe if you could just clarify that. And thirdly, it's the renewals. My understanding is that these agents renew every year. They're supposed to renew every year. But then if you look at the figures there, it seems the number of these agents are going down because you have this achieved the renewals, and I presume the renewals will be made up of existing agents and the one that we intend to enroll or the one that is enrolled in the first school year. Maybe you could just explain why is that so. I know in the annual report you talk about previous things that we have introduced and what effect we have, and what are some of the people that are not renewing as the new guys. Someone is registered last year, and then we find that the going is tough, and that they just exit. So if you could have maybe give an analysis on in terms of who are people exiting, because if you don't have a specific case, we presume that you are not available here. And then finally, I'm not sure if this is your mandate in terms of this decision. Those that are working there, you know, as you can I call it the low cost market or low value market, do you see a lot of take up from established agents working in that space, or is it a case of the guy that tries to make a living with what in terms of loss, one of the things that you mentioned is tackling the sector itself. Do you see a lot of knowledge sharing and student sharing across the market from the lower to the higher end of the established ones still are concentrated at the 2 million above, and those ones that have little funds continue to overlay with the 0 to 500,000
cases. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The first question that I'll raise, I think it's touching to my questions as well, because I wanted to ask in relation to the inspection, which is how we measure against how many, I can see that the target, the number of the target, but how many estate agents
including that to watch the licensing on the renewal, how I read that you're underperforming on the KPIs, which are what I'm discussing now. You have a result of the fourth quarter, of the first quarter, end of the first quarter, but how are you going to enforce this? Because the expectation, when they deal with individuals, people, they are very harsh. And now, they are still hit. Because they deal with the consumers, they are very harsh. And you must, the word must be harsh to them as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Another good moment.
Thank you, Sham. Oh, my name is a general question. As the agent, what are you doing about the officials who are not? Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
as a typical question, are they paying them, man? I think you should finish the question. Are they paying them, man? Thank you very much. Look at the question. Maybe before you respond, as well as in your response, if you could explain the switch to qualified sports members, that is qualification, was it related to corruption related issues or was it just general things? And I know that actually we haven't asked it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. In no specific order, I'll answer the question, Chair. Chair, I think it's an important question. The board is the regulatory body and takes custody of across the unleashed. Now, I must be honest that the board also found itself in a state of not compliance with the EU Act. It became so, not for any fraudulent reason or anything like that. The deadline to supplement their own firm's audit report to the EAD full time. And the Act is actually very, very harsh in the fabric. It's not going to be after service in the world. Any estate agent should serve by looking for months of their financial level, submit the audit report to the EAD of the trust account and the business account. So if it is end of February, you must submit it by end of June. If you miss that thing, the Act currently does not allow any dispensation for you to get an extension, which is where you are there, and without disqualifying. So it could have a negative effect on all the state agents. In the new bill, we'll need to increase the 6 months, like the Companies Act, like that legislation that you not have to submit information, and also that if you don't meet that requirement, then there's a process. You need to administratively submit for your penalty and so on. Because, so I'll follow the other question. So last year, we had to block 4,800 firms, 45 to 54 estate agency firms. We blocked them because they only missed the deadline. Once you submit the deadline, you still have to submit a training report. You must submit all the supporting documentation, and then you can qualify to your license to trade. The impact that has is that even the state agents working for you in your firm, the other people working for you, none of them can get their license. So it's a big, big responsibility on all the state agency firms to work and meet all the compliance deadlines when it comes to work. So those board members found out in that state that cannot be. That if you at a board level and you don't need to cross the Act, which could maintain that position, and the Act is very clear, if that happens, you must take the Act to whatever. So I think it is something that we have to look at, because that specific item is, like I said, it's free translation. It's so old, it's something we must read because it is more practical and aligned with the Companies Act or other instrumentation where you have a reasonable time, 6 months, to supplement your information. And you can also have a different process if you are doing multiple deals with such a method of deadline, and that's what we need to allow. So, there are no other irregularities that we can claim was embarrassing for us to mention. It's just about constructing our problems, working with the offer, understanding they have to be reported.
Oh,
go back to the other issue of claims. So we look at these two here. And you see the one here, so we claim that we must. One equal has been approved and we have your goal. You can look at the lag time of such a risk. The consumer loses money and the analyst very agent. That consumer comes to the EBM and submits the claim. The act currently requires such a consumer to exhaust all legal remedies first. So once you register the claim, you must also the case against the source for the money. You must now try to recover that money legally. So from the timing perspective, it can take 8 months before you come back to us and exhaust all the legal remedies. So we see claims being submitted in court there. And if what we approve, the 900,200 certainly could actually be more claims of the client than 20,000 that now has completed the entire legal process. And now it allows for us to pay the money back. But the idea behind that is that you also do not submit a utility claim and that the consumer provides all the documents, police, take a small case court or whatever, 12,000 or the bench in the high court and it's all over because it doesn't have that. And that is one of the challenges that we do have. So we always like to take a new loan to make it much more easier for consumers to pay after taking money back and reach it across the legal case against the state agents. And at the same time, I can answer questions that the other honourable members have asked about. That is, I think the question is about how the corrupt officials pay back money. I think that I understand that the state agents who have stolen money from consumers, we do that in recovering that money. So one step we do is we call the system to them, we take their license away from them, and we explore further the issue where things and try to recover the money from them. But if you have a problem with our current act, doesn't give us sufficient legal power in the act to attach an asset and the new law we may do that to make sure that the rules of the Supreme Court will allow the that ruling the power to be put up of a court team, and we can in fact recover such money to attach an asset of the interest from the money itself and then recover money from it. So it's currently not the perfect way of taking. And we also go back to the claims process. Before the very complicated case, it's not supposed to be timing yet. It's a very, very, very complicated case, and the state is also delayed, used to link to the legal project, to continue to work for a very long time to take the money back, and that's something we need to support. We also look at our inspection policy. If we look at the inspection stack that we show there, we have inspected 751 state agency firms. There are 10,000 firms out there. We have a policy that for the 5 years to get, we would like to inspect 50% of those firms. Now, the actual target is to inspect 1,200 firms a year, which will give us more than what we need to do, so that we can, in prime year, we inspect about 500 firms. The year before that, I think also, more than 1,200. That's specifically when we do not reach that target, and we are catching up, because we change our process. Actually using small firms nationally to attend the process to get them into the phone of the 13 firms supported nationally as well as that we're talking about. Because except for ourselves, Kimberly and Regulator, we also use the outsourced model, which is also helping small firms to participate in public inspections, so they are something that's really brilliant. So when you look at the same application, one case of one of the top 900, is you get one firm in the team, can be two or three or four. Area conservation, and so it's not so easy to see what is the thing which is spread over the high density population. On the regard of the complaint step, maybe to go back a little bit back, is that during that specific year when we saw a drop or change in the situation, where we obviously improved our performance standards, so finally all our lawyers were working for us. We deal with these various conflicts and effects. We understand that there may also some people who do not want to comply with the stringent internal policy and process that we want to bring to the performance management, some of them there. So at some stage, I think we lost probably most of the staff that was dealing with the public. And we bring a new group of people which we have, and during that time, we don't mean that our complaints we actually don't need to solve. But we are full capacity by getting around there again and pushing better response time on the complaint that we get from the consumers. So that trend will also change after that year overall from the doctor, and we are going to be in the right direction to that. So also you can acquire the new stuff, but never to add it to the older issue. The existing extensions cannot survive. Now, if you this moving south by the end of June this year, 2040, all the citizens of the year it was scheduled to submit it for approval. That qualified them to get a license for 2050. A lot of them already had their license for 2050 because it's yet compliant with the COVID drop. So in from 2013, this year being the biggest compliance facility in January. All of them submitted in time, and then luckily at the point we were to do the start of March, they took up the stand. So if you don't start, your reporting time is not going to get the license. So that is a very good part. So we are seeing actually better. So when you get the drop that you see in the 31 March step, by now all of that has been resolved. The step across the people that need to be like that, the whole amount of stuff, and now they have it, and now they can realize it. So we are already working on 2050 license. We have a problem in the automotive market. Of course, this industry commission there, I can confirm that there are not enough operators or large operators in the market in wood products in which you can show this in the 600,000, not enough people operating there, definitely not enough people working out in the market and all the houses. So currently these are very small operators who are sometimes you can live in that area. That's something that's changed, and the large firms are focusing on the more lucrative market before the end of the issue by the seller. Really just reporting a standard to people and just to certain individual, currently you can see that the wealthy properties are going to be established by a big brand versus other smaller firms that you can get from the region and what with the market. So that's how we'll be able to achieve some sort of transformation there. In terms of skills transfer, many of the large firms have progressed in the outside integration process to work with smaller firms and to bring more younger people into the organization, as well as more people to try and achieve that so we can see the kind of transformation happening. Now, I think the instances where faith in the cloud, I think it's very correct, they are very ruthless in the company with consumers. So we have taken that hard step. When we find the state region using unethical behavior, unprofessional conduct, any sort of where consumers might be, you want to call it where they are, because they're also perpetuating the deadline of the street and keeping certain areas for certain communities. So we find that information, we can see the certain steps against them, to the team that we will be open like to the serious part of that. So we've got a harsh measures against them in the certain process, and I think we find to deal with that. So inspection has been one very crucial. The more we inspect, the more the measure comes through, and then the more effective it must be the house to make sure that we're actually compliant with all of the other factors. Thank you
very much. Whilst we appreciate the responses, and I think probably one of the things that we would like, not necessarily to respond now, when you respond to the issue of the strictest qualified board members due to the most case, statement that they never have a certain time. And you would really like to know the government, because we know that there is a lot of a state agents in your, in under you, that most of them don't actually have a statement that they have a certain time. So what happens? And so that we don't give only the rules that are in the board. What happens to those that are not in the board? So that kind of thing. So we would really like to have that response, even if you think of us in writing at a later stage. And one question that also wanted to be when you were responding to the issue that when you were saying you don't have the capacity of the cover of management. Of course, that's not your role, but there is a lot of other that you can use. There's HOPS, there's FLU, there's many state organizations that you can use. Are you in liaison with them? In assisting you for the cover of those monies, because that's not very much. If you might be able to respond now, I thought that the things that you would be able to answer to respond in the next chapter. Thank you very much. We are on social housing registry of the province right now. We're going to get them. If you can give us that response in writing before we finally move on. But
It's now Sadat is coming. Is
and this concept is in keeping with other social housing, the sector and the organization of working together to achieve more. The aim of social housing is to provide housing opportunities for low, medium, and income households, often talked about, the income bank structure, restructuring of cities, and empowering of residents to provide clean, healthy, and safe environments in terms of food, services, transport, food, clinics, schools, and economic opportunities. Social housing sector consists of many role players and each contributes to the holistic system. Here we do that forward on overview by the chairperson of the council. Here we highlight that the council term was extended by the minister in July 2013, actually, that was the minister. It was extended in 2013 by the minister, so after 7.3-year period. And this was really a very difficult year for Shua, and the extension was, I think, basically also because it was a difficult year and there were issues came out within the Shua, with the CEO and the CSM being suspended in December 2013, and this is definitely a due to the Shua performance targets, and the ex-CEO was appointed by the council. Eventually, the CSM resigned and the CEO changed. Was continuing the last time when I think the last time I reported to the portfolio committee, indicated that the CEO's outcome of the CCMA was out and finalized and was in favor of the Shua, that the Shua did not have an obligation to continue with him as the CEO. And I also reported that criminal proceedings that we have filed in NECA is before the Commercial Criminal Court. Now, these were issues that were covered in the chairperson's report. Steps have been undertaken to enhance the internal control environment, especially area of project management and investment of funds, which led to what has happened in the past. Financial performance of social housing institutions remain healthy and robust. The private sector threshold for rental collection rate is 82% and has been achieved across the sector. The first ship project situated in Northwest, a mining power sector, was approved under ship 4B, and this is the Manapendo social housing institution. So the ship 4A did not yield any project qualifying for other awards, that the Shura was unable to reach target of 5429 units. The highlights continue. A pipeline has been developed in partnership with provincial steering committee and has potential to deliver 5,000 units in the next 4 years. The strategy moving into organizational effectiveness by looking at automation of certain key functions and revision of organizational structure. And the revision of the organizational structure was approved and actually is being implemented. Internal collaboration and greater stakeholder engagement will be prioritized in the efforts of climate towards climate, and this is what we are already doing so far. Performance information and our strategic outcomes and oriented goals. The first goal is to be a reputable and reliable regulator, and secondly, to be a good custodian and steward of state resources, and to use service to use cutting-edge technology and best brand systems to achieve business results. You're talking to the Shua program. Shua operates three core programs, namely the investment program, to do the approval, administration, and assessment of the restructuring capital grant. The regulations program, comprising of accreditation and compliance monitoring of social housing projects and institutions. The institutional investment program, the approval, administration, and assessment of institutional investment grants. These four programs are supported by the corporate services program, which comprises of finance, information technology, human resources, and supply chain management. The headcount of the establishment at the end of the year under review was 27 out of 36 positions with 9 vacancies. The social housing investment program, actually it's not a shift, the mistake, it's a program. Supposed to be the social housing investment plan. This shows our performance
in terms of the delivery of units. And the number of social housing units which we have put in the year indicated, 2012, our actual target that was reached was 5,151. In 2013-14, our target was 5,429 and the actual was 2,279. And what was that variance? And the explanation being that why we did not reach our target was that the project which was submitted for SHIP 4A after application is not the investment criteria. And during the SHIP 4A FCG application, the six submissions with approximately 5,000 units were received. The majority of projects did not meet investment criteria and the submission did not indicate sufficient project planning and readiness for implementation within the timeline. In addition, most projects did not meet financial viability, hence the targets could not be met. The intervention program, we're talking there to the actual, it is the 2012-13, the target 2013-14, the actual, and the variance. Number of year-up grants, this is categorizing our grants, and number of specific intervention grants in the years mentioned there, and the reason for variance. And the shortfall was due to the confirmation that no additional budget would be released by the National Department before additional internal controls had been implemented for the investment program. And that expenditure using RCG would be classified as irregular expenditure. We have also now the regulations program and also the target indicating that the actual and what we met and the variances. The percentage of accredited applications with accredited social housing institutions and the reason for the variance is either from institutions and clients or their applications were withdrawn. Number of compliance inspections which were done indicate the target for 2013-14 and the actual where we actually came to 2, which means we met our target, we went over our target. We exceeded our target. The overview of the program, Social Housing Regulatory Authority has successfully managed 4 funding cycles. A summary of the programs that have been funded is presented below. And this shows from SHIP 1, from 2010, 11, all the SHIP programs. And up to OB 2013-14. And the budget allocated and the target annually and the units which were awarded and the number of projects. And of the 12,429 units approved today, 2,367 have been completed, 5,932 are under construction or semi-tenanted, and 4,140 are still at planning stages. All were awarded in the year under review. The internal control environment involving the statement of the RCG has been reviewed and enhanced to reduce risk. For example, the policies and contractual agreements have been altered to ensure all these projects are undertaken in a more controlled environment. Below is a program performance project expenditure. And the table below represents the expenditure of the SHIP project during the years under review and indicate the project and where they are located, grant value which were invested, and the value of the branches. And you can see the spread, Novena is in Gauteng, Mateni, Mpumalanga, Inyezi, Eastern Cape, and so forth, project was in the Western Cape. The year ahead, Shuffle simply looks for ways to improve the SHIP program and plans to benchmark processes against other funding agencies, both local and international. And the plan in the short year to make all key processes and take automation of processes which will lead to greater efficiency and capacity to handle an increase in the number of projects. An automated investment business information system will cover the current processes. All proposals, which is what we are doing currently, compliance of RCG contracts, pipeline,
get recommended management of the pipeline. This will also allow a level of self-monitoring by the grant recipients on their compliance status to track their progress in line with their contract obligations. The implementation of approved projects. Intervention into the potential turnaround of a six social housing institutions without conditional or full attribution to six institutional subsidies prior to the establishment of the SWAT were initiated during the financial year and the project. Urban Housing Association in Popo, Bombela, in Mpumalanga, Urban Bay in Mpumalanga, Fishwete in Mpumalanga, Zuzani Mataloba, in Kaute, and the Housing Company in Kaute. The major challenge of this SHI is the level of performance related to the identification of the securing new social housing projects for implementation to ensure sustainability over the medium to long term. Now, talking to the institutional investment program still, the approval of grants, the project to release grants for all human housing association were approved during the first quarter. Three project visibility grants for community care were also approved during the year under review. It's important to note that 11 applications for year up grants were received, but none of these could be awarded due to the level of information provided for appropriately accessible requests. The strategic goals set for ensuring year relate to consolidation of the institutional investment programs to ensure that grants submitted may be appropriately valued and implemented. The first priority is to get the budget in accordance with the institutional investment plan, three cents and two. The institutional investment policy and guidelines will be finalized and approved by council to ensure that as soon as the budget is confirmed, work may proceed in accordance with the policy document. The regulation program in relation to the accreditation. A total of 60 institutions, social institutions, the high quality accreditation and the details are as follows. For the three SHIs applied for renewal, where renewal applicants, 15 were new applicants, and there was one operative. So below indicates an accreditation growth table that shows 2013-14 and 2015. Conditionally accredited institutions, accreditation, and those that are declined which we have withdrawn. And shows that the growth percentage is sitting at 15.8%. Now, in relation to the regulations program, as we continue, we have rules and forms of disposal and structure of state funded stocks. The SHRAE has developed draft rules and forms for disposal and transfer of stocks, and the rules have been approved by the executive committee and council. Which means actually they are no longer draft rules, they are final rules. And we will say that they will be accepted for public comments during the second quarter of the following year. SHRAE is in the process of developing a financial model that will be used to engage with the effect on how the state investment will be valued. On the tenant income audit and registration service, SHRAE has commenced with 40 tenant income audit and tenant registration service expected to be completed in the second quarter. Outcomes of verification and action plan. The SHRAE has completed the process of verifying the housing-based project that we are funded with public funds prior to the inception of the SHRAE. And the National Department has provided the SHRAE with a list of 390 social housing projects that receive public funds in the other 8 provinces in order for SHRAE to commence the verification process of this project. SHRAE adopted for a strategy that is focused on regarding the provisionally accredited CGI based on the fact that the provincial human settlement of Kaohsiung had a more structured system than other provinces. The SHRAE received an unqualified audit opinion on the annual financial statement for the financial year ended 21st of March 2014, with the emphasis of matter undergoing concern related to the results of the minister's announcement in her budget for each any additional matters regarding the report of the services as a result of findings of the irregular extension with regard to the provincial special police amounting to 20 million and use of capital budget for operational requirements amounting to 20 million. The emphasis of matter and additional matters raised, however, do not modify the unqualified public opinion. The report on the PD7 objectives, there were no material findings based on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information. And on the compliance with all the regulations, there were material findings with the extension management regarding the prevention of regular expenditure and goodwill and wasteful expenditure, which resulted in non-compliance with Section 611B2 of the PSM. Highlights from Hamilton report, this is the remuneration of council and executive managers as indicated. And then it also indicates the suspension of special leave of the CEO and the CSM in December 2013. And it also indicates that council has three committees, mainly HR regulations and the investment committee. And the total number of council meetings which were held and special meetings, as well as the ordinary meetings and the committee meetings for that year. And then here is the irregular expenditure as disclosed in the financial, which was 113 million. The 826 million is for the previous year, 2013, and below is the breakdown of that expenditure. And this is the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 144 million, of which 59 million in 2014 and 85 million in 2013 in terms of the transfer of funds to Moran and State Development Project. I'm going to hand over to Danica from one of the projects in the council to continue the financial.
In terms of the summarized statement of financial position, as at the end of March, our current assets were sitting at 482 million. And of that 482 million, there were 236 million, which was expected from the department that we had to provide for it, so it was paid at the year end. And 45 million was patient training. In terms of non-current assets, we've got a small amount of about 3.2 million, and this is kind of our property plant and equipment, as well as our software equipment. In terms of liabilities, we're sitting at 11.9 million, and our liabilities are mainly made up of creditors that we owed at the end of the financial year, as well as provision for leave and bonuses. Creditors were coming to about 1.9 million and provision for leave and bonuses was sitting at 1.5. That's resulting in net assets of 423 million and that is made up of a revaluation reserve amounting to 296 and of course accumulated surplus of 423. At the end of March. In terms of our financial performance, we received revenue to the amount of 650 and our operating expenses were sitting at 35.3 million and program costs, these are the various projects that funds were dispersed to, amounting to 244 million. That's leaving operating a surplus of 170 and we had investment revenue of 2.4, which is mainly interest that we earn on the bank balances. So the total surplus for the year was sitting at 473 and the next slide just shows the breakdown of how the surplus is made up of. In the beginning of the financial year was 172.6 million and we did a revaluation on our assets amounting to 296 million and surplus for the year
of 423 million that we had to refund and put in 13.6 million back to National Treasury, and at the end of the financial year we were sitting at a surplus of 423 million. That 423 million, I must indicate, is committed to projects that were approved in Sheet 4B, which was the year. So it's not to say it's money that are just sitting in the bank account, it is committed to projects. Well, in terms of our cash flow, it shows the cash flow that we spent our cash that was spent on operating activities, came to a net outflow of 132 million, and then cash that was spent on investing activities, a small amount of 549,000, and there was a net decrease in cash and cash equivalents of 132 million. Telling the cash and cash equivalents for the previous year of 178, we were sitting at the cash and cash equivalents that what was in the bank account of about 45.6 million. I've already explained the breakdown in terms of what our current assets are made up of, non-current assets, and the next slide really shows our current liability, which is mainly credit cards and provisions. And then in terms of revenue, we'll note that in the year under review, we only received funds from the National Department and not from the provinces as reported in the previous financial year. And then in terms of the projects that we fund, that's the spread of the projects that were funded in 2014 per province. It's been added 9.2, housing at 41.1 million, Mpumalanga at 10.7, Northwest at 59.7, and Western Cape at 2.5. And professional fees, these are the cost of professional services that we use in the project directly, making the total disbursements for the year of 141 million, and that's the presentation of our annual financial statement. And thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Sam. So you really want to thank you and questions, okay? So you really want to go. Thank you very much. That's the report from Shra, questions of practice and comments. Mindful of the fact that we are a little bit behind time, but I'm sure we'll catch up, because I know we'll manage. Thank you,
Madam Chair. Just a bit of clarity regarding slide 9, the situation in national children. I'm a little bit selfish here, but I know she's a few of us from the angle under my children, so I'm taking this opportunity. What interventions, I mean, you mentioned interventions into the potential turnaround, what are the nature of those interventions? And to whom are these figures as accountable? Is it to yourself as a staff or to the municipalities that they are aligned to? We are very fortunate, basically. And just on the last one, that you mentioned of interest, that last slide with your program costs, I don't see Northern Cape or Little Park on there. Are there no programs or is it just not just listed? Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks to Shra. Chair, you understand that the country is engaging with this particular entity. Because the questions that we have to answer, you know, there are those things that are underway. But I'll try to avoid those ones, because I think the last time Shra came, we had to meet them behind closed doors with no cameras involved. So, yeah, but it's very difficult, because especially when you look at the that irregular expenditure and the projects that indicated that know that they've been there. But it depends on the field of institutional subsidy. The last time I had to raise this, there's like, or maybe let me say, a thought of doing away with the institutional subsidy. I'm not sure from some perspective what will happen. But one thing that one has had, it's called the institutional subsidies are what we have come to know as the rent back. After a few years, then the retailers get to give an opportunity to buy that unit or that property. But since then, there's less appetite for that model of segment. I'm not sure whether that is the correct critique from what has been talked about within the department. But the other aspects are difficult to share, and I think when we do have that conversation again, we'll be able to engage in a more open and robust manner. But for now, I'll not say that.
Thank you very much, Honorable so, briefly, when you respond, I think I never pointed you. You never had an answer. Honorable Honorable
I just want to say that indeed we did not get a very formal condition, but we are not going to elaborate because of the situation that we know, but we just want to be on record that we did not get very formal on it. I hope that now that you are under the arm of the department, you strive to improve drastically on but I was concerned about the liabilities and the assets, but I'll just park it there just to look for future income and funding.
Thank you very much. We are being soft. And one thing that probably one needs to comment about, that is the comment is that we know that you've been under a lot of challenges. And one looks to say that you, in the past year, you have had 11 special forces. So this is very fortunate. I mean, that is really unfortunate. For me, that's something that to concern about. 11 special forces. And then when you respond to this challenges, that's the thing that I think when you said you never in this last year you didn't get any income cash flows from the provinces, only from the national government. That was the challenge. So that you have an understanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chef. Maybe I should just address the issue of which is more a comment I think for me because about the 11 organizations. It was really a special year, and I think I indicated in the last portfolio committee that when we discovered the irregularities, we really almost all the time to actually establish what was happening, and then ended up actually commissioning a forensic investigation before we could come with the decision to suspend the two senior officials. So it's something that especially looking at, you know, we've seen a lot of the correcting things, you don't think that will happen, we'll go back to normal. They are getting back to normal. The other issues on institutional intervention and irregular, I think I'll leave to my colleagues, you know, next to give a better message. And I think the institutional intervention, the first question, and the institutional subsidies and rectifying to another honorable member, I think we should address them both because I think there's maybe something we need to clarify because we're not in the rectifying. And then the other issue will be handled by Mr. Tanita Shaw.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just a comment of institutional investment in the fixed project. We were actually concerned that there were institutions that were seen with government stock and they were not accredited. So we saw each place actually send money on them to send them around so that they could be
eligible to manage the government funded stock. All those projects are mainly in Malawi. And they also say that they are accredited, they are accountable to the regulator. On the issue of projects in Northern Cape, limitation around the structural zones within that area, but there is a project in Northern Cape by a salt municipality, and it's working quite well. Limpopo is the same kind of situation, but there are two or three institutions in Limpopo, but the fact that they are not structural zones is a problem. And on the issue of institutional they are not necessarily handled by the fact that the mixture of the finance or social housing gets part that comes from the province. And on the issue of regular expenditure, the 20 million that relates to institutional investment is money that was entitled to the regulator, but it's actually sitting under what is called social housing investment plan, but I do think that it's a misunderstanding from the department that it cannot be in the expenditure. And the 400 million that is actually sitting there, it is best fund in advance, and we are happy to report that all those funds have been recovered there.
There was a system of
ecosystem
that comes with not just there's money in advance. That is what used to operate, and now we're putting things into under control. We actually are going to call all the money from the interest account and establish a couple of accounts in the trust to monitor only pay when for the project that is coming.
I think on the cash flows from the provinces, this was around the special arrangement that was entered into with the SHRA, where provinces transferred funds into SHRA. And hence the line item of provincial special projects irregular expenditure. As the CEO and COO has indicated, we are recovering the money, and I can confidently report that today we have paid the provinces around 61 million of the 93 million. So we are doing our best. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the appreciation. The time is called at 1. I think we should wait for lunch. But we just prepare here at 1:15. Let's try and have our lunch taking it so that we can try and push for time. We still have 4 entities that must report. So you can just go to lunch now until 1:15. And you know, when I remember, 1:15, we will be sitting here with those that are with you. So you are sitting like a soldier. The National Housing Finance Commission will be reporting. So at 1:15, they should be ready, respect, and discuss it. Thank you very much.
The lunch is on the ground,
because it's mostly at 1. So, you know. On the ground floor, not at 1, that's one of the advantages of having the portfolio meetings outside the parliamentary system. We're going to have a full lunch instead of a sitting lunch.